I believe North Carolina and North Carolina State. But more to update with you on today's game. But first, let me bring in one more point, and that is that Bobby Willis is hurt. Bobby Willis has a severely sprained ankle, will not see action in today's game. And to update you further, here is Tony Altieri.
Well, thanks very much, Larry, and good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. I think you've got to admit that the ACC is probably one of the toughest basketball conferences in the nation. So don't be deceived by the Deacon's 3-3 record. Although they did lose to Temple, another fine team in the Big Five, they've got a very, very tough schedule going up against such teams as North Carolina, North Carolina State, Maryland, and Duke, and other ACC powers. Wake Forest is a very big team. They start one man, 6'11", Larry Harrison at center. They have a forward, Jim Johnstone, at 6'10". Penn is going to have to try to keep them off the board. Matt White is going to have his hands full. He lists here at 6'9", some say 6'10". He's going to have his hands full trying to box down Larry Harrison and Jim Johnstone.
And then again, Tony, some people say he's 6'11", so Matt very diligent in either direction. But then again, for the Quakers, is Tony Price, the forward who is only 6'7", but many people feel that he can jump 6'11", or 7 feet, actually.
Well, let's just hope that those people keep talking, because the Quakers are going to need it tonight. They're going to need some height, because they're going to be at a height disadvantage against the Deacons of Wake Forest. We mentioned before that Bobby Willis will not play tonight. He will not see any action. He's not even dressed. That will be a severe blow for the Quakers, Larry.
It will indeed. If Bobby sprained his ankle in practice, I believe, and they had to put him in a cast, or they didn't have to, but they put him in a cast just to immobilize the ankle to make it better so he wouldn't sprain it anymore. So Bobby is in the cast tonight. He will not see action. And that is a big factor, and the reason it's a big factor is Bobby has come on in the past couple of games to be a very big contribution in the scoring factor. Bobby, of course, is always a threat with his ball control and ball handling, but also his shots have been going in, his driving lives, etc. So he will be missed. Starting in his place will be the sophomore, Ken Hall. Ken has been the sixth man in for the Quakers in the first four starts. We'd like to remind you that the Quakers are still undefeated with a 4-0 record. But Kenny is a 6'2 sophomore from Atlanta, Georgia, and he'll see his first start. He was the starting guard for the freshman team last year. As I mentioned, he has been the sixth man in for the Quakers in the first four games. Kenny has been coming off some pretty good performances, especially on defense. His protection against the point guards of the opposing teams has been fantastic, and he'll be starting along with who else but James Clooney Salters. We'll probably get the quarterback role for the Quakers today, as he normally competes with Bobby Willis for the ball anyway when the two of them are starting, because both are capable of making the big play and both are capable of having the big driving layup. So we'll be Salters and Paul in the backfield. I spoke to Coach Kleinhauer before the game, well, the game hasn't started yet, before we went on the air, and he mentioned to me that he will not probably put Timmy Smith in a guard, since either Hall or Salters need a rest. He's going to keep Timmy at the forward spot, and instead he'll bring in either David Jackson or Angelo Reynolds. Both are freshmen. Jackson is 6'3" from Wyandanch, New York. I tried to say that last time we were on the air, and I couldn't do it either. And Angelo Reynolds is a 6'2 freshman from Philadelphia. So they'll be the two backup guards for the Quakers. Starting at center, of course, for Pennsylvania will be Matt White, the center who we talked about. He's listed as 6'9", some say 6'10", others say 6'11". It all depends, I guess, on the shoes he's wearing that particular night, right?
And who you talk to, Larry.
Okay.
All right, the Quakers definitely will miss Bobby Willis. I've also been very impressed with Kenny Hall. For only a sophomore, he shows a lot of poise out there, plays very heads-up basketball, and is a good, steady basketball guard. He's not the flashy type that Bobby Willis is, and he can't pick up the team like Bobby can, but he is steady, and hopefully he'll be able to provide an adequate replacement. Also, you've got to remember that the Quakers do not have the depth that they've had in recent years. They've got a good starting five, but we'll come back to that after this national anthem.
Thank you.
That stirring rendition of the national anthem done by the University of Pennsylvania Marching 101. Tony?
Okay, Larry, I started to say that the Quakers, who do not have the bench that they had in the past, had a lot of young players on the bench, a lot of unproven talent, are going to be forced to take a look at some of that younger talent, some of that unproven talent in tonight's game. Without Bobby Willis, they're going to have to use Kenny Hall, who is generally unproven. They're going to have to use David Jackson. They're going to have to use Angelo Reynolds. Now, these two players between them have very, very little playing experience on the varsity level. As far as underneath, the Quakers are in the same place that they were in the first four games, which is not too deep. Vincent Ross is probably the first backup at either forward or center, and Vincent's a little green. I think that he's got the potential to be a very good basketball player, but at this point he does not have the experience to substitute for a long length of time. They also have Eddie Poole underneath, and Tom Easton and Tom Cotton, who are both of them do not have very much varsity experience. So hopefully the Quakers will be able to use hopefully Bob Wynow will be able to substitute well and have the Quaker players such as Smith and Price and White in there for most of the game that really counts. It's important.
Okay, let's turn our attention now to the Wake Forest Deacons. Wake Forest has started out this season somewhat disappointing. They're not scheduled to be or figured to be that much of a contender in the ACC, and that was evidenced as North Carolina whooped them by a score of 73-55. North Carolina State won 77-70 in the ACC competition. But they have beaten teams such as Jacksonville 70-68, Eastern Tennessee by a score of 93-78, and Appalachia by a score of 83-71. Temple beat them, I believe, about a week ago by a score of 86-79. So the Deacons are not figured to be that strong. They're a young team, as has been written, because graduating from their squad is All-American Rod Griffin, and also Frank Johnson as well has graduated. Frank Johnson was an All-ACC second team member. So they've lost two big men for them, and they're a very young team, inexperienced, and they're going against a starting lineup for the Quakers is very experienced, although it is missing one of its experienced members in Bobby Willis. But it's going to be interesting to see how the big Wake Forest team can handle the experienced Quakers. Also starting for them, we'll run down the rest of the starting lineup for you. Number 5, Eddie Thurman, will start at guard. He's a sophomore, 6'2", from Boston, Massachusetts. Frank Johnson, a junior, another guard, will be starting. He's number 14, and he's from Weirsdale, Florida. Along with him is Alvis Rogers, a freshman at 6'6", from Washington, D.C. He'll be starting at forward. And we already mentioned Larry Harrison at 6'11", their starting center, and Jim Johnstone, the forward, at 6'10". He's a freshman, that Johnstone is. So they're very young. There's only one senior on the starting lineup for the team.
But Larry, you're going to have to watch out for guard Frank Johnson. He's an all ACC selection. He's averaging close to 15 points a game, and he can be explosive for the Deacons. Also, another cog in the Deacon offense is Alvis Rogers, a forward who's a freshman, 6'6", but he's been able to put the points on the board so far this year for the Quakers. For the Deacons. So the Quakers are going to have to watch out for him this year. Larry, you've got to consider the fact that the Quakers have had a long layoff. The University of Pennsylvania has conducted finals the last 2 weeks. The Quakers have not played since the LaSalle game, in which they won a one-point thriller, 68-67. Do you think the layoff will hurt them, or is it going to give them a chance to rest, think about where they're going to go, and give some of the depth-ridden squad a chance to catch a threat?
Well, Tony, it's not as much a matter of what I think. It's more a matter of what the coaches think and what the players think. And I had the opportunity to speak to assistant coach Bob Stack about just this question. As we were watching the game films of an upcoming opponent, that was Iowa State, we were talking about the layoff. And Coach Stack said that it was good that they had so much time off, but then again it was bad in the fact that any team that's winning, as the Quakers were, they were 4-0 coming into this game. Any team that's winning, you like to keep playing, because when you're hot, you're hot. And it's just a matter of that. You don't want to go cold. And that is some concern now to the Quakers coaches, as is the injury to Bobby Willis. But you were right when you mentioned that Frank Johnson is a possible all-ACC and all-American candidate. mistakenly thought he graduated when I mentioned his name, but he was second team all ACC last year. So Frank Johnson is very much a threat and is still a member of this team, Johnson being a junior at 6'2 from Weirdsdale, Florida.
And he, along with Rogers and also Jim Johnstone, who is the center, will comprise most of the offensive attack. Larry, just running down the Quaker season thus far, the last game was the one-point win over LaSalle, as I mentioned. That game was what I would have to say the most exciting game for the Quakers this year. Although they did blow a 15-point lead early on in the game, they were able to help hold off LaSalle, who in their own right is a very good team, but was playing without Michael Brooks, who could be the best player in the Big Five. Before that, they crowned Tulane by 17 points down at Tulane. They beat Navy soundly, and they came up with what many considered a surprising victory against Virginia. So I would have to say that the Quakers are pretty much untested this year. The book is still out on them as to whether they're going to finish with a big season or not. They've got the potential. They've certainly got the experienced players on the club that should come up with a very good season, but it's just a matter of how much the bench can hold out and how Bob Weinauer is going to be able to use the bench.
Well, then again, you mentioned that the Quakers haven't really been tested. LaSalle was a test. You mentioned that with Michael Brooks, many people thought that the game would be a lot more one-sided than it was. But then again, it was a Big Five contest, and Michael Brooks was definitely a factor, even though he was injured. We're just about ready to start the first half here. But then again, Michael Brooks was a factor, so the Quakers did come out with a big one, and that was just their last game. So we'll see how that affects their play today as they're going against their ACC rival. But then again, there are a lot of tests that are coming up for the Quakers. Some polls are ranking them 24th in the nation at this point. And as you mentioned, they really haven't faced a super big opponent. But that will come, because the Quakers have, after the vacation coming up, they have a game scheduled with Georgetown, who some people rank as high as 12th or 14th in the nation, I believe. So Georgetown will definitely be a big test for the Quakers. And I'd like to remind you that you're listening to this game on WSPN in Philadelphia, WQHS on the same campus. Also, there will be a big test put on by Princeton. Nobody expected Princeton to be that good this year, as they've lost a couple of their big all-Ivy men. But then again, any team that's coached by Pete Carrillo, especially when they come to the philosophy and play the Quakers, they're going to be tough. Carrillo is a heck of a coach, and he can control his players, and they play a very patterned defense and a very patterned offense as well. So they will be a tough contest for the Quakers. And also, this year, another Ivy opponent, Columbia, will be very difficult.
Well, I think, Larry, that any team that the Quakers take lightly are going to be difficult. The Quakers have the tendency, since I've been here the last 3 years, to let down on easier clubs and end up losing games that they should never lose. They seem to rise to the occasion when they're playing teams that are a lot tougher than them or teams that are rated more highly than they are. But when they come up against the so-called easy opponents, they tend to slack off a little bit and have problems. Right now, The starting players from both lineups are being announced. As we mentioned, starting for Wake Forest will be Eddie Sermon and Frank Johnson at guard, Albert Rogers and Larry Harrison at forward, along with Jim Johnstone at center. And they're hitting midcourt right now, along with the Quakers starting lineup, which we mentioned, James Salter, Kenny Hall, along with Matt White, Tony Price, and Jimmy Smith.
Leading the Quakers in scoring is Timmy Smith. He jumps ahead of Tony Price. He's averaging 17 points a game, four games into the season. Tony Price is now second, averaging 15.8. Matt White was 14.0. Bobby York was 13.3. So the Quakers, very balanced in their scoring with their big four men. And James Salter is even far behind, averaging 8.8. So almost five players are in or close to the double figure range. The Salters is only 2 points away, which would have put to one more basket each game from breaking into the double figures. Kenny Hall is averaging 5 points a game. For Wake Forest, their big man is Rogers, and Rogers is averaging 16.3 points per game. Johnson with an average of 14.7. John Stone with an average of 10.8. So three of them men are in double figures. And right close behind them is Helms. And You're looking for Helms' first name, Mike Helms. He's a guard, a freshman guard. Helms is close to 9.2, so Helms is going to see a lot of action today. As is Harrison, with an average of 5.7, and Sherman with 4.2. So they're the top scorers for each team. Other players for the Deacons have been quite the top contributors throughout the course of the season. But we're just giving you a rundown of the starters and the probable six men in, right?
Like I've got to say, the story for the Quakers this year has been Timmy Smith. I've been very impressed with him. Last year, he started out the season with a bunch of shots that were off the mark, lost his confidence, and did not take very many shots for the rest of the year. He was playing with his head down, was very unsure of himself, no confidence in himself, and was having a lot of trouble on the court. This year, the whole story changed. Timmy Smith decided he was going to work. Before the season started, he get himself in playing shape, and he was all ready to go when the season started. He's leading the team in scoring. He's up there in rebounds. He's leading the team in assists, and we're looking for a good game from him tonight.
And we're just about to start this contest between the Wake Forest Deacons and the University of Pennsylvania Quakers. Before the play-by-play in the first half, here's Tony Altieri.
Jumping center for the Deacons is Jimmy Johnstone. Is run by the Quakers. Matt White taps it over to Booney Saltis. He controls on the left side. Comes out now to control the defense. As the Quakers now are going to look to run a deliberate, control the offense. The Quakers are going to look to run a deliberate offense. They've got a lot of movement under the net. Booney Saltis is looking for someone to throw the ball to. He's now got it out to Kenny Hall, the top of the key. Kenny Hall to Tony Price. Blocked out. He's run by Harrison. He starts a fast break up the other way. Frank Johnson makes pump, and his jumper is good from 15 feet. And they can score 2-0 Wake Forest. Back the other way, Booney Saltis with the ball. Back in the corner to Kenny Hall. Hall looking inside, back out to Saltis. Saltis top of the key. Back to Timmy Smith. Smith now in the corner. Throws it out to Saltis. Saltis at the top of the key. Back into Smith. Smith makes the 15-foot jumper inside to White. White inside to Price. Price up, but he's fouled. Right underneath, and he'll get two shots.
They're going to call it on Eddie Thurman, the 6'2" guard. As he came in around Timmy Smith, it was make that Tony Price to see how the easy layup and just ran his body into Tony, and Tony couldn't get a shot off. Also blocking on that shot was Larry Harrison, who came in from behind. So the foul will be charged over to Eddie Thurman, sending Tony Price to the line shooting two.
White takes the first shot. He's a 76% foul free throw shooter. And I think, Larry, you have to agree that the Quakers were moving the ball around very nicely before Tony got that foul.
Well, the Quakers' strategy is to look for the inside shot, and that's what they were doing right there. We're going to have a lane violation, and left. Second foul shot will not count, even though it went in, and Wake Forest will get the ball.
They're ruling that Tony Price stepped over the line too soon. His shot went in, but it will not count. As the Quakers now employing the full court press, Price and Smith trying to get the ball tied up underneath, but the Deacons control and bring it across half court. The pass in the center is snapped away by Timmy Smith and knocked out of bounds by Alvis Rogers, and the ball, it'll be Quaker ball at midcourt. Kind of a strange play there as the Quakers were pressing and got the ball back.
Quakers always do that. After a foul shot, they'll go into the zone press and just fall back into the zone. It worked very effectively there as Wake Forest could not get past the timeline.
Kenny Hall controlling on the left side. Back out to Salters. Salters, 15-foot jumper, and it's good.
How about that, Tony Salters? He's been hot all year as the confetti flies for the Quakers, and they're just going to clear the court out. It's not much confetti, as it's not a big five contest. But Woody Salter's hitting from the top of the key, about a 20-footer, and he's hot. So he's going to be a big factor in the contest. He's going to take over for Bobby Ross' scoring.
Well, of course, the final, the Quaker crowd isn't as big as you would expect. But what people are here are making a lot of noise, and they're very appreciative of the Quakers. Right here, Alvis Rogers loses the ball out of bounds, as the Quaker defense is getting tough. Quakers have the ball back now. Kenny Hall bringing it up over the midcourt line. He's controlling the Quaker offense. Out to Tony Price. Tony Price, cross-court pass. Back to Kenny Hall. Kenny Hall inside to Matt White. Matt White, long cross-court pass over the head of Tony Price. Falls out of bounds. A little bit of a mental lapse there by Matt White throwing the ball cross-court. And now the Deacons control.
Wake is in the 2-3 zone, and the Quakers are playing man-to-man. It's a little bit different strategy for both teams.
Quakers really trapping the guards outside. Now that Wake Forest works it inside. Thurman with the ball. Thurman looking for Rogers. Now out to Johnson. Johnson over to Harrison for the Quakers. The Wake Forest team is baffled. They cannot make anything of the Quaker defense. Can't work the ball inside. Over to Harrison. Harrison into Rogers. Rogers has it around the left side. Back out to Johnson. Back to Rogers. Rogers drives baseline. 15-foot jumper is good. And Wake Forest goes up by 1-4-3 with 17:53 left in this first half. Kenny Hall's got the ball on the right side. Back out. Salters, top of the key. Salters looks to throw it over. Now back to Hall. It's to Timmy Smith. Timmy Smith, 15-foot jumper is good. And Smith is hot again.
2 points for Timmy Smith on the evening, and he hit from about 20 feet out. The Quakers were relying on the outside shots for their two baskets.
Deacon bring the ball right back. Harrison, inlet pass. It's ball. The pass was into Jimmy Johnson, though, and he just powered over everyone there and just laid the ball right in. And now it's 6-5, Wake Forest. Kenny Hall controls, and the ball is knocked out of bounds off Kenny Hall. Wake Forest will get the ball. Thurman will inbound. Thurman over to Johnson, back to Thurman. Thurman will bring it over the midcourt line. He's being guarded closely by Booney Salters.
Quakers falling to the man-to-man off defense.
Thurman looks for it inside into Harrison. Now into Johnson, and pass is knocked out of bounds off Matt White. Johnson, excuse me, has a foul on Matt White. He went after the ball a little bit too vociferously there.
That was also reaching in against Jim Johnson and Johnstone, and that's exactly what happened. There is a foul called and inbounding with Wake Forest.
That's White's first foul. Wake Forest with the ball. Johnson, 15-foot jumper from the baseline. No good. Thurman with the rebound. Thurman brings it outside again to control it for the Deacon's offense. Thurman looking to throw it back to Johnson. He does. Johnson, top of the key. Johnson looking to work inside into Harrison. Harrison, pass, blocked away, stolen by Price. Price down to Salters. Salters going one on two. He puts up a 10-foot jumper. It's good. And we've got a little bit of action between Larry Harrison and Tony Price are talking, but they seem to have resolved that problem there. One of the players bumped into the other one. They had a few words, but nothing comes of it, fortunately, for both teams. Lodge with the ball inside, 10-foot jumper is knocked away by Timmy Smith on a fine defensive effort, and it'll be Wake Forest ball, but Rogers looked like he had two right there. Timmy Smith knocked the ball away very nicely. Wake Forest will inbound. The inbound pass is blocked away by Tony Price, with control now by Thurman. Thurman works inside against Salters. Looks like an offensive foul, but not called. Now back outside to Johnson. Johnson wanting to slow things down now for the Deacons. Out to Thurman. Thurman, top of the key to Rogers on the left side. Rogers looks inside. Cross-court pass to Johnson. Johnson takes the 15-footer. Back up, and it's off the mark. Tony Price boxing out. Nice rebound, and he's got it for the Quakers going back the other way. Booney Salters. Salters driving right on in, and we've got a foul. Looks to be against Frank Johnson for a blocking foul against, as he got in the way of Booney Salters on that drive there.
Score now is Penn 7, Wake Forest 6, and the reason for the difference in the score is that the Quakers are forcing Wake Forest to take the outside shot. Wake has the advantage of height. The Quaker defense is designed so that they cannot get inside. It's been very effective so far in the contest.
And also the Quakers hitting their outside shots, forcing Wake Forest to come outside. Tony Price with a 16-foot jumper off the mark, rebounded by Rogers, but he falls down. The ball is taken back now by Mark Dale, who's just into the game for Thurman. Dale into Harrison. Harrison blocked away by Salters. Salters has it now, taken by Kenny Hall, and the Quakers go down 2-on-1. Salters into Kenny Hall, but the ball is knocked away, and
there will be a traveling call against Dan Salters. He was looking for Tony Price, breaking on the 3-and-1. 3-on-1, and he just couldn't control the ball as he just up to Tony. Wake Forest gets the ball 7-6 men on top.
Quakers had a little too good there. Into Johnson. Johnson misses the easy layup, rebounded by Matt White. Easy 2 points there for Wake Forest as the ball went into Johnson. He missed the easy layup. Kenny Hall over to Price. Price 15-footer, no good. Timmy Smith with a fine rebound. Into Kenny Hall. Kenny Hall's ball is blocked and rebound. Foul. The foul will be on Alvis Rogers as the Quakers being who have the height disadvantage underneath are out-hustling the Wake Forest team and getting their share of rebounds underneath.
That's enough basketball. The Quakers have three men underneath the basket, whereas Wake Forest only had their big man, Larry Harrison. Harrison could do nothing with three men around him. The Quakers got three shots off. Finally, Kenny Hall was fouled as he went up for a layup, and he will be going to the line. Coming in is Alvis Rogers to block the shot, but he also got a piece of the body. First shot is up, and it's good. So the Quakers now on top by 2, 8-6, and we'll wait Kenny second.
15:25 left to go, and this is the first half. Hall is an 80% free throw shooter. He's up with the second shot, and that's good. And that makes the score 9-6 Quakers, as again they employ the full court press. Kenny Hall hawking closely Mark Dale. Now Tony Price in there, and they throw it over to Johnson. He's able to clear over midcourt. Out to Jimmy Johnson. Johnstone over to Dale. Dale inside to Harrison. Harrison, 10-foot jumper is good. And Wake Forest comes back 9-8. They're down by 1. Quakers control now. Hall in the right corner. Hall looking to throw it back outside to Price. Price right inside to White. White goes up, and his shot is blocked, but there's a foul as we have, again, a fine display of Quaker passing underneath. Tony Price going in right underneath to Matt White, and he goes up for the shot, and he's fouled.
We'd like at this time to wish a speedy recovery to Dr. Howard Mitchell. Dr. Mitchell has been coming to the Pennsylvania basketball games. He's an avid supporter of them, and he sits right behind us normally, right behind the WXPN broadcast booth. And he is now resting at home after an operation last week, and he's doing fine. But we'd like to say hello to him, and we wish he was here, as the Quakers are leading 9-8, and Matt White is on the line shooting 2.
That's first shot falls. White is a 33.3% free throw shooter. I would have to say that's one of the lower percentages in the Ivy League or in the nation, but hopefully he can can this one right here. 15-01 left in the first half. Quakers out in front, 11-8 as Matt White cans the second shot. Again, the Quakers are in the full court press. In for the game, the Quakers are D'Angelo Reynolds as they're now applying a lot of pressure. Wake Forest able to clear the zone over to Rogers. Rogers in the right corner, throws out to Dale. Dale with the ball. Dale looks into Rogers. Rogers, 15-foot jumper, is good. Hits nothing but court, and that brings Wake Forest back 11-10. We have a stoppage to fix the net. That's a quick shot.
And the referees are showing a little bit of a jumping ability if they are able to get up and clear the net, and that's what the delay in the action is. But now Wake Forest is in the zone defense against the Quakers offense.
Tony Price put the ball down underneath, looking to throw it outside to Reynolds. Reynolds, top of the key. Reynolds takes one dribble, now throws it out to Smith, but the pass is deflected and taken back by Reynolds. Alvis Rogers playing fine defense there. Walter, top of the key over to Price. Price, 15-foot jumper, is off the mark. Rebounded by Rogers. Rogers out to Dale, and the Deacons start back the other way. Dale holds it up now. He's at top of the key, looking to work something on the offense. Trying to work something inside. Walter's guarding him very closely. Frank Johnson with the ball. Johnson into Harrison, top of the key. Harrison over to Rogers. Dale now has the top of the key inside of Johnstone, but he has the ball knocked away by Vinny Salters, as Johnstone is not very mobile at all underneath, and the Quakers are really making him look pretty bad. Price inside to White. White all alone underneath, and his layup is good, and then he got a battle off Jimmy Johnstone there for the ball. Fine play by Matt White, and a fine pass by Tony Price.
That was very close to 3 seconds, but was able to get up the shot, and that's 4 points for Matt on the even.
Deacon bring it back the other way. Dale to Rogers. Alvis Rogers going up from 10 feet. Draws a foul. The shot is good. It will count. 3 point play coming up for Alvis Rogers.
That's 6 points on the evening for Alvis Rogers. And Timmy Smith has called for the foul. He cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. And Timmy was just stationary, just waiting for the shot to go over him. And they're going to tag him with the foul, giving Rogers the opportunity for the 3 point play. The score now is 13-12, and the Quakers are on top. This foul was on Timmy Smith. That's what I believe I said it was on, didn't I, Tony?
I'm not too sure.
Okay, it was on Timmy Smith. As Angelo Reynolds is in the guard for the Quakers, we'll get back to that later.
3 point play is missed, making control. Reynolds from the corner hits on a 25-foot jumper. Fine jump shot for Angelo Reynolds. He's seeing some of his first varsity action here in a Quaker uniform. Dale now out to Johnson. Johnson back to Dale to Rogers. Top of the key to the Deacon. Rogers controls into Dale. Dale looking to work inside. Wake Forest very unorganized. Into Johnson. His shot misses everything as he makes a 3 foot layup there. Just shot directly over the bucket. He's not over to Matt White. Matt White hits right underneath. And again, the Quakers passing is astounding. They found Matt White wide open underneath. That opens a 17-12 lead. Quakers over Wake Forest. Wake Forest back the other way. Rogers over to Dale. Top of the key. As I was saying, Jimmy Johnstone is having very much trouble underneath. That time Dale hits an outside jumper, 15-footer, 17-14-10. Quakers bring the ball back the other way. Angelo Reynolds out to Bobby Willis. Willis underneath now over to Tony Price. Out to Reynolds, 15-foot jumper. Reynolds is off the mark. Jimmy Smith controls the rebound. Now it's brought down by Harrison. Long outlet pass over everyone's head. And Alvis Rogers can't keep the ball in play. And it's out of bounds on Wake Forest. It'll be inbounded by the Quakers with 12:25 left in this half, and the Quakers up 17-14.
Okay, the Quakers are doing it with a very impressive display of defense. They're not letting Wake Forest get the shot inside, whereas on the other hand, the Quakers are able to get the inside shot in, especially to Matt White, who now has 4 points on the evening. Vince Ross checks into the game for the Quakers.
Vince Ross into White, right underneath, and he hits! And the Quakers' passing is astounding. Quakers come out of the press now. They just leave Terry Price in there just to bother the inbound pass. Dale brings the ball up to the Deacons. Over to Rogers, left side. Rogers, 15-foot jumper is good. Deacons come right back, 19-16. Quakers up by three with 11:54 left in this half. Reynolds controlling out. Over to Salters, top of the key. Salters looking down underneath to Ross. Goes over to Reynolds. 30-footer is good. Reynolds from the sideline. Excellent shot. And he's really picking up his Quakers squad as they're up 21-15.
Reynolds loves that corner, and he's hit two from there right now. He's got 4 points on the evening. Wake Forest with the ball. It's Dale.
21-16. Dale, top of the key. Looking for Rogers. Being hawked very closely by Salters. Quakers an excellent defense here. Singleton up with a shot, and he hits. Will Singleton, excuse me, that was Mike Helms, just into the game, and he hits on a 15-foot jumper.
The question is whether Wake Forest will be able to keep up their outside shooting. They're doing a fantastic job of getting open for the outside shots. They can't work it in, though, against the Quaker man-to-man in the Quaker zone. So the problem is... Okay, Tony, back to you.
Okay, back to live action. Ross, 15-footer is up, and it's over the mark. Brought down by Johnstone. Johnstone's got it. Over to Dale, and he'll bring it across the half-court line very easily. Now it's into Helm. Helm's driving layup, and he's pounded by, looks to be Vince Ross, and he draws a foul on that play. The foul is on Matt White. Matt White underneath as Helm drove the baseline. White stepped out in front of him and picked up the foul. Helm will be on the line shooting two. He's a 58.3% free throw shooter. Not very good. So we hope that he has trouble here, but Kenny Hall back into the game for Salters. Bob Weinauer sees if Booney Salters a break, if he's been playing some super defense. So let's set the Quakers for you now, as they have Angelo Reynolds, Kenny, along with Kenny Hall at guard, Jimmy Smith along with Vince Ross at forward, and looks to be Tony Price at center, although I'm sure Ross and Price are both handling the center chores.
The reason this game is so close at this moment is the fact that Wake Forest has been very hot from the outside. And now the Quakers have the ball, leading 21-20.
Reynolds in the corner, throws it out to Hall, top of the key. Hall tries to drive, throws it over to Price. Price left side into Hall. Hall back out to Smith, Smith right side. Quakers working the ball around very nicely. Hall, top of the key, looking over to Price. Price, 10-foot jumper, is up off the backboard, no good. Price, Smith underneath, his shot misses, and it's brought down by Johnstone. Johnstone out to Dale. Quakers had a shot there, but weren't able to put it in. Dale with a 10-footer, it's off the mark. Quakers being a little bit out-rebounded underneath, but nobody picked up a foul. Looks to be John Hengler, the junior forward, 6'7 forward for the Deacons, and it'll be Quaker ball.
He's tough as Larry Harrison, the other... I think that's Jim Johnstone, the other tall man in there, four-way parts right now. Timmy Smith was framed on the shot, no foul was called, and then Angelo Reynolds was hit.
Okay, we're trying to control the ball now. Reynolds over to Hall. Reynolds with a 20-foot jumper, and he hits. And Reynolds is 3-for-4 tonight from those long jumpers, and is once again really picking up those like Quaker teams. 23-20, Quakers over Wake Forest, and Wake Forest pass goes out of bounds as Angelo Reynolds playing some fine defense on Mike Helm, forces that play to go out of bounds. Quakers will now pin down the ball in their own end. And Kenny Hall is over the half-court line. Hall controlling for the Quakers. Hall on the left side. Goes into Ross in the center. Ross back out to Price. And the pass is batted away by Jim Johnstone. Quakers will control into their own bucket.
Interesting strategy now is Tom Condon, one of the taller Quakers, is going to check in as Coach Weinauer wants to get some more height in.
Kenny Hall inbounds to Angelo Reynolds. Hall in the right corner. Hall looking to throw the ball inside. He's got Tony Price now back out to Hall. Hall's 20-foot jumper is off the mark and rebounded by Mark Dale. Dale bringing up the ball along the left side. Small guard throws it into Singleton. Singleton out to Dale. Dale out to Hendler. Hendler with the ball. Now out to Dale. Dale's got it top of the key. Being hauled closely by Kenny Hall. Dale now works over to the left side, looking to throw the ball inbound. Over to Jim Johnstone, top of the key. His jumper is off the mark. Hendler with the rebound. Now over to Johnstone. Johnstone, 5-footer is good. As the Wake Forest height advantage is starting to show a little bit as some of the Quaker big men are getting a little bit tired. Quakers bring the ball back the other way. Angelo Reynolds, right side over to Hall. Hall's got it top of the key. Ball hits Price along the left side. Price has the ball batted away from him by Helm, but gets it back and throws it over to Hall at center. Hall now back out to Reynolds, top of the key. Reynolds going to slow it down, and he's going to set up a deliberate Quaker offense. Over to Hall, right side to Timmy Smith. Timmy Smith looking to work inside. Over to Reynolds. Reynolds with the ball. Throws back out to center. Back out to Reynolds. He's got it at center. Top of the key. Over to Kenny Hall. Kenny Hall works inside. Quakers don't want to make a bad pass here. They're working very deliberately, trying to set up a good shot with 8 minutes and 35 seconds left to go. And this is the first half. The Quakers up by 1 point, 23-22. Quakers are running a very slow, deliberate offense, throwing the ball back and forth. Reynolds now with a long jumper. Top of the key, and he hits.
8 points for Angelo Reynolds on the evening. He's relying on his outside shot and is keeping the Quakers ahead as the Quakers just can't work it in against the Stellar Wake Forest team.
Kenny Hall steals the ball away out to Reynolds. Back to Hall. Hall's layup is good. And he's fouled. 3 points away. Kenny Hall and Angelo Reynolds executing a beautiful two-on-one there as Kenny Hall made the steal. They went right down for Hall. That's his fourth point on the night. Beautiful play for the Quakers. They're up 27-22, Larry.
Well, indeed, As we were talking about Angelo Reynolds, Kenny Hall came back and showed why he's so valuable. Angelo Reynolds now coming out of the game with 8 points. But Kenny Hall on defense just tipped the ball away from Mark Dale, and he got the ball, went down with Angelo Reynolds, did a pretty two-on-one, made a behind-the-back layup and is fouled on the play, and fouling him was Mark Dale, the man he stole it from, and he makes the three-point conversion. Quakers on top, 28-22, their biggest lead of the evening.
Kenny Hall converts, Quakers up six, Dale bringing the ball up over to Johnson, Johnson into Harrison to center, Harrison shot. No good, but we have traveling call to end Harrison and the Wake Forest team. The ball is turned over to the Quakers, and the Quakers are really flying now. Wake Forest can do no right, and the Quakers can do no wrong.
And guess who was called? Harrison was called because Kenny Hall was defending against him.
Quakers control the ball now. Kenny Smith, right side, his jumper is good. And they go up 8 points, 30-22. Kenny Smith with 4 points on the night. Outside jumper hit nothing but cord, and now Wake Forest brings the ball back. Mike Dale over to Rogers. Rogers back to Johnson. Johnson with a 15-foot jumper is good. The Quakers are going to have to keep Johnson pretty cold tonight if he can get hot and really score. Kenny Hall, right side, into Kenny Smith. His jumper is blocked and taken away by Hendler underneath. No foul call. The fans looking for a foul there. Mike Dale now driving right underneath. Has the ball batted away. Oh, and the ref rule that is off one of the Quakers and Wake Forest will control.
Okay, Kenny Hall knocking the ball away from Dale, and Kenny Smith just got his hand on it as it dribbled out of bounds. Wake to pitch possession, 30-24 with 7:16 left.
Most of the starters now back in for Wake Forest. Alvis Rogers controlling. He got it along the left side. Back to Mark Dale at center. Dale over to Johnson. Johnson with a long jumper, and he hits. As Johnson now hits two jumpers in a row from that same spot. He's got 6 points on the night with only 7 minutes left to go in this first half. Quakers up by four, 30-26. They're going to want to have to keep Johnson keep his hot hand a little bit colder than that. Kenny Smith now controlling the ball on the right side. Smith over to Salters at center. Salters top of the key. Trying to set something up now for the Quakers. Over to Smith. Smith looks to work inside. Back to Kenny Hall. Kenny Hall out to Salters along the left side. Hall top of the key. Long 20-foot jumper hit. And the Quakers shooting is phenomenal. That's 7 points for Kenny Hall. Quakers have been hitting everything tonight. And Wake Forest is going to call timeout. And I don't blame them. They've got to do something about this Quaker outside shooting.
Well, I'm sure that Carl Casey's scouting report, he is the head coach for the Wake Forest Deacons, as we'll give you the turnover statistics for Penn, 3 turnovers for Wake Forest. They have 8 turnovers. So I'm sure Carl Casey's game plan showed, or scouting report from the Quakers showed that the Quakers like to work the ball inside to either Tony Price or Matt White. And they're defending very well against that. Wake Forest has instituted a 2-3 zone and a 2-1-2 zone that's been very effective in stopping the Quakers' inside drive. Quakers got high a little earlier in the first half, working it into Matt White. I believe Matt has, let's see, where's Matt here? White had 8 points on the evening, tied with Reynolds for the leading in scoring. But the reason Reynolds is tied with him for 8 points is the fact that the Quakers are incredible from outside. The zone is shut out the inside, so Angelo Reynolds has come in, seeing more action than he's ever seen in the first four starts for the Quakers. And the freshman has thrown in 8 baskets from all long distances. He particularly likes the corner, as 6 of his 8 points are from the corner, and the other one is from the top of the key. So the Quakers, along with Timmy Smith and Kenny Hall, have been phenomenal from the outside, and that's where they're relying on it, because they're just not getting the inside shot, Tony.
Larry, I think that Bob Weinauer felt that the Quakers were not going to be able to compete cut out, muscle the Wake Forest team, but they're playing this game with quickness, throwing pass, sharp passes and fine quickness are beating this Wake Forest team. Wake Forest now controlling. Mark Dale over to Rogers. Rogers, 15-foot jumper, hit. That makes the score 32-28. Quakers up by four. Looney Salters now controlling for the Quakers. Condon into the game for Matt White. Tony Price now over to Reynolds. Reynolds, 25-foot jumper, he hits the game. And Angelo Reynolds, with 10 points on the night, is having a phenomenal shooting night.
He wants a starting job, it looks like to me. Angelo Reynolds, freshman.
He keeps playing like that, he's got it. Rogers now with the ball left side out to Mark Dale. As again, Wake Forest having trouble moving on offense. They're just standing around, and if they hit the outside jumper, fine. If they don't, they go back the other way and watch the Quakers make something. Frank Johnson with a 5-25-foot jumper, and he hits. making the score 34-30. Quakers up by four.
It's Frank Johnson and Alvis Rogers, the two big men, four Wake Forest. Rogers with 10 and Johnson with 8. As they're the only two who are keeping Wake Forest in the contest right now.
And it seems like everybody who Bob Weinauer puts in is doing a fabulous job.
All except Tony Price from the outside shooting. And Tony just can't get a shot in. He's been having trouble for the past three contests after his 29-point performance in the opener against Virginia.
Lakers control now. Timmy Smith, 16-foot jumper, is off the mark. Tony Price passes back in. And just as we were saying that Tony's a little cold, he comes back to haunt us. And hopefully, Larry, he'll do that all night because I personally like to see Tony have a super game tonight. Harrison now at the ball, top of the key. Frank Johnson controlling on the right side over to Helms. Helms into Rogers. Rogers, left side. Holds the ball up, throws it back out to Helms, tries to get something started. Helms appears to travel at the top of the key, but it's not called. Frank Johnson works inside. His jumper is off the mark. No shot. They rule. He's traveled. And the Quakers get the ball back as Matt White comes in for Tom Condon. Condon in there for a short stint just to give the big men a break. But some fine defensive play there by the Quakers, forcing the Wake Forest mistake. Quakers controlling the ball now.
Quakers were in the man-to-man as they're varying between the zone and the man-to-man. It was very effective there, forcing the turnover as White is now defending against the Quakers in the zone.
James Salters works inside the White. White's half batted away. Now controlled by Price. Price in the sixth. That ball's batted away by Harrison. And it's batted out of bounds. Referee rules Wake Forest ball. Harrison inbound to Mike Downs. We come back the other way. Helms holding up a hand, holding up one finger, signaling the play to his Deacon teammates. Now controlled by Harrison, top of the key. Harrison passed over to Rogers, is blocked by Angelo Reynolds, and Reynolds is doing it on both ends of the court now. Alvis Rogers now controlling, back out to Helms. Helms back to Rogers, left side. Rogers about 15 feet out, over to Helms now. Helms tries to work inside to Harrison. It's taken away by Timmy Smith, finding that the play. The Quakers bottle up the inside. James Salters now driving left side, throws it out to Price. Price about 30 feet away. There was a fine cross-court attempt for Reynolds, and his 15-20-foot jump shot is off the mark. As Angelo Reynolds, this is one of his first shots in a long time. He's been just red hot for the Quakers, and we have a stoppage of play now, as we've got a foul
on Jim Johnstone, the big freshman inside. And I believe it's going to send either Matt White or Angelo Reynolds to the line. As Angelo, as we saw that shot wasn't going in, took a cut toward the basket, he might have been fouled in the process. We'll just have to see him shooting. It looks like it will be Matt White.
Larry, the Deacons do have a very big team, but Jim Johnstone is having a lot of problems underneath. He's slow and he's big and he's young, so he does not have the experience or the quickness to be able to keep up with somebody like Tony Price or Matt White underneath. Of course, Matt looked that way a couple of years ago, but his experience has enabled him to play well underneath, and he's at the line right now shooting two.
First one is up and it's good. Quakers on top 37-30. Matt White having a pretty good year from the foul line, 64.3%.
I was reminded by our statistician that was 1-1, not shooting two, but he did make the first shot. Second shot is off the mark, taken down by Justin Ellis. Ball thrown away by Jimmy Smith. Smith works inside to Mooney Salters. Salters now back out to Reynolds, over to Salters. He controls the top of the key as the going got a little bit tough underneath there. A lot of hands batting the ball away. Salters now controls along the left side. Back out to Angelo Reynolds, top of the key. Reynolds over to Salters. Salters to Smith. Smith underneath to White. White jumper is off the mark. He fouls. Foul into Justin Ellis, number 31, who's just into the game. He's a 6'9 sophomore. As Wake Forest is going, they've got big men to put at every position. Matt White will go back to the line. This time he'll be shooting two.
And that's what the Quakers like to do. As Angelo Reynolds checks out of the game, Kenny Hall back in. It's Tony Salters and Matt White. Timmy Smith and Tony Price for the Quakers.
Larry, Angelo Reynolds got a standing ovation there as he left the game. When was the last time you saw a freshman for the Quakers get a standing ovation?
Since the last freshman game 4 years ago when the Quakers seniors were freshmen
in varsity
Columbia.
In a varsity game.
Okay, I haven't seen it because this is the first year for freshmen. But Matt White sinks the first one, 38-30. The Quakers on top, and we're waiting for the second one here. The Quakers were successful in working it in. If the second one is no good, rebound pulled down, and Matt gets it.
Matt White pass knocked out of bounds by Wake Forest. Quakers will inbound the ball. Matt was intending to pass the ball underneath to Tony Price.
Again, the Quakers trying to work it in, Tony, and they weren't successful there, but the ball was batted away, and they retained possession.
Mooney Salters deploying top of the key. Salters back to Tony Price. Price inside the stick. Stick in the white. He hits. Fine passing there by the Quakers. And we had four passes in the span of a couple of minutes. 12 points for Matt White. as the Quakers are just astounding on offense. Now, they're moving the ball very well. Back on defense, Moody Salton hawking, and the ball is thrown away by Matt White. Matt White's long court pass he overthrows everyone, but a fine play by Matt White as he's able to steal the pass. As I was saying, Moody Salton is hawking Frank Johnson up at the point, and Matt White was able to steal that pass away. The Quakers are playing very well at both ends of the court now. Mark Dale controlling for the Deacons. Dale looks to work inside. Now he's got Justin Ellis. Ellis back out to Dale, over to Johnson. Johnson's ball knocked out of bounds by Booty Salters. Now they say the ball's off Johnson. Salters must have pulled an extraordinary move over there on the other end of the court. But the Quakers are doing it on defense. They're up 40-30. Big 10-point goals with 2 minutes and 46 seconds left in this half. Ball knocked out of bounds off of Timmy Smith.
Alvin Rogers coming over on defense, and the Quakers have increased their turnovers now by two. As the Quakers are just a little bit too anxious to get the big lead on Wake Forest. They're up now by 10, and they should like to see that go up by 12. As the Quakers fall back into the zone, but they're liable to change that at any moment to confuse Wake.
Back the other way, Thurman back in for Wake Forest. He's bringing the ball up court, looks to work inside, over to Johnson. Johnson back to Thurman as Wake Forest has their starting club back in there now. Underneath to Johnson, all alone, and he hits a soft jumper from about a foot out. The Quakers just left him all alone. That's his sixth point on the night. Tony Salters now controlling top of the key for the Quakers. With just 2 minutes and 16 seconds left, the Quakers want to keep the game under control. Kenny Hall hits a 20-foot jumper from outside. I was going to say that was Angelo Reynolds because I was used to seeing him hit from outside. But it was Kenny Hall with a fine outside jumper, keeping the Quakers ball to 10, 42-32 over Wake Forest. Thurman's got the ball now. Throws back out to Johnson. Very nice. The Quakers aren't going to give him a good shot. Over to Rogers. Rogers left side. Back to Johnson at center. Johnson hawked by Price. Inside to Larry Harrison. And his man, I don't know who he was throwing that ball to. Looked a little too fancy for everyone. The Quakers throw the ball right away. Timmy Smith now throwing the ball, but it's batted away by Johnson. And Johnson tries to keep the ball in play, but cannot. And it'll be Quaker ball.
Ben Ross comes into the game now for the Quakers and going out for a rest is Timmy Smith. And also into the game is Guy Morgan, seeing his first action. He's a freshman in the White Park at 6-3-8. And the Quakers are just a little bit too anxious to get it inside. They're not waiting for the good pass. That's where Bobby Willis is sorely missed. Bobby Willis has the experience and he has the game savvy to know when to hold the pass and when to drive. And that's what the Quakers are missing now, as the Quakers' turnover percentage has gone way up in this game because of Bobby Willis's injury.
Okay, Larry, with the Quakers 10 points up now, Bob Wynan, only a minute 26 left in the half, Bob Wynan is seeing fit to make a few substitutions. Tommy Condon's underneath for the Quakers, along with Vince Ross and Tony Price, and back at the out of guards are James Dalton and Kenny Hall. Quakers are going to work with for one shot now, with a minute and 13 seconds left. They're just deliberately throwing the ball around, looking for the open shot.
They're forcing Wake Forest out of the zone is what they're doing, and Wake finally comes up.
10-foot jumper by Tony Price is blocked out in front. We're going to have a jump ball as a bunch of the Wake Forest players are contesting that call.
Guy Morgan went up with Tony Price as he was looking for the shot. Wake came out of his zone, went up to the man-to-man. Guy Morgan picked up Tony Price, and he went in to block the shot of Tony's and was successful, but he was not successful in stealing the ball away. Jump ball between him and Price.
Price controls back to Dawson. Dolphins motion to spread it out, and we're going to work for the one shot again. 56 seconds left. Salters, they rule, he double dribbles. The ball is turned over to Wake Forest. Salters with a little bit of a mock smile there, not quite believing it. He thought he was fouled. But regardless, Wake Forest ball now. Thurman bringing it back up. He's being hawked by Salters. Thurman trying to set up something offensively. Looks to throw it over to Johnson, but cannot. And we've got, looks to be a foul on Salters.
Now it's going to be called on Kenny Hall, the other guard for the Quakers, as he was trying to put the holds on Eddie Thurman. He was successful in putting the holds on, and that's why. And the Quakers are in the bonus, but Wake Forest is not. They're only 14 fouls for the Quakers.
That's the first foul for Kenny Hall. Wake Forest inbounds the ball. Rogers over to Johnson. Johnson, top of the key, back to Rogers. Rogers, 10-foot jumper, is off the mark, and struck down by Harrison. We have a jump ball now between Justin Ellis and... It's either Vince Ross or Tony Price, Larry.
And it's going to be Tony Price. Vince Ross is giving him a heck of a time. Tony Price just stepped in and was able to tie him up. And Guy Morgan will be jumping once again against Tony Price. And it's interesting to see, but Vince Ross, right after that call, just planted himself right behind the basket. We'll get back to the action.
Luke Ross playing a heads-up game of basketball. Dwayne Stoltz is not controlling to the quick. Tony Price won that fat ball. Stoltz has the ball over the left side to Tony Price. Price with it, controlling, looking to set up for the one shot now with only 23 seconds left. Quick is up 42-32.
And they're going to call a foul underneath one more time, and it might go against Condon. As Condon was fighting for position, and that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a call against the sophomore. As he was fighting for position against, once again, Guy Morgan, they call it against him, and White gets the ball with 19 seconds.
Wake Forest now controlling. Thurman brings the ball back up over half court. Being hawked closely by Salters and Ross. Now over to Rogers. Rogers drives baseline. His 10-foot jumper is over the mark as Kenny Hall was playing for the offensive foul. Did not get it called, and the ball trickles out of bounds off one of the Quakers. It'll be Wake Forest ball on the right side.
With 6 seconds left, the Quakers are on top by a two. Wake is going to look toward a quick shot here as inbounding will be Frank Johnson.
Johnson having a little bit of trouble.
And they might call 5 seconds for the time for inbounding. We'll just have to see what the official calls. The action is stopped. They're going to call one of the Quakers, and that's 20 Salters for tying up the man who was trying to get free, and that was Guy Morgan. One more time, and we're just going to inbound it once again. The foul is on Salters. That's his first. Team's fifth.
Not a very good foul, Larry, to pick up in only 5 seconds in the first half. Alex Rogers, top right side, his shot is off the mark. Condon rebound, and Condon's shot is a little bit too late as the half ends with the Quakers up 42-32, 10 points at the halftime. And Larry, I've got to say, the Quakers quickly fine passing, moving the ball around very well and moving it without the ball, and put them out in front of Wake Forest by such a large margin at halftime.
Well, Tony, I think the biggest factor right now is the Quakers are just playing, getting lucky. And it's the fact that the Quakers are not sticking with their normal game plan. That is working inside. They're a little too anxious. They're missing Bobby Willis. And I'm saying this even though the Quakers are on top by 10, but the Quakers have been lucky in getting the long shots, especially Angelo Reynolds, who's come on in the first half and done a fantastic job, seeing more action than he's ever seen in the four starts for the Quakers. But they're hitting from the outside. They're not sticking to what they like to do, and that's working it into either Tony Price or Matt White and hoping to get the rebound. So they're having to rely on Angelo Reynolds' shot, on all the guards. The guards are just doing a phenomenal job of shooting the ball, and their percentages are really high. I would say they're shooting about 80%. And it's just fantastic the way they're shooting, and that's the reason the Quakers are on top by 10. Now on the other side, we have Wake Forest with the height advantage, but they're too slow. They can't get around the Quakers' zone defense, and when the Quakers are just fairly confusing them, if the Quakers are going after the foul shots, they're going into what they call the zone press, what they like to do after a foul shot, stealing the ball, sometimes just knocking it away. Wake Forest is fighting for every pass. The Quakers' man-to-man defense is working, and the Quakers' zone defense is working. And Wake just can't use that use their height advantage to their advantage. They just can't get the ball inside. They're relying on their two big men. That's Frank Johnson. Big men. They're not the big men. They're the guards. They're relying on Frank Johnson and also the forward, Alvis Rogers, both of them with fantastic shooting nights.
Okay, Larry, for our halftime feature, we have Lou Hughes. Lou taped his comments on the Pete Rose signing for our LaSalle broadcast over a week ago, but due to technical difficulties, we weren't able to present them to you. Tonight, however, Lou brings you his belated but salient words on the signing of Pete Rose.
Without question, the biggest news in Philadelphia sports this week was the Phillies signing of Pete Rose to a 4-year, $3.2 million contract. And although Penn's basketball team has shown well coming into this game against LaSalle at 3-0, there's no question they have been upstaged by the largest signing in free agent history. Now, Pete Rose is a great ball player. There's no doubt about that. Yet one has to wonder, will his signing help the Phillies win a World Series? And if it doesn't, what will be the ultimate consequences of such a move? It's this question which I want to explore this evening. Pete Rose started his career in 1963 with the Reds. He played both infield and outfield throughout his career there and set many hitting records, especially for switch hitters. In 1973, he was voted the league's most valuable player off a spectacular .338 average with 230 hits and 115 runs scored. there's never been any doubt that he is the most intense player to ever put on spikes. Every move, every motion is filled with the flair and intensity and hustle that only Pete Rose can give. He's been a great asset to the game. He's a self-proclaimed singles hitter who got $100,000 for the first time in 1971. Now, things have changed a little bit of late. Rose's 1978 season was filled with great disappointment and also great accomplishment. He hit in 44 consecutive games, tying the National League's all-time record. However, he failed for the first time in 4 years to get his customary 200 hits, and he barely batted 300, hitting 302. After that streak had been ended in early August, he batted a mere 280. Now, these figures can't be tossed around lightly when speaking about Pete Rose. Other players have never hit 280 during their entire career. But then again, other players aren't going to be paid $800,000 a year to play for the Phillies. Following that old adage, let's look at the record. In 1976, Charlie Hustle played in every one of the Reds' games. He scored 130 runs, had 215 hits, and a .323 batting average. The following year, in 77, he also played in all the games for the Reds, but he only scored 95 runs and only got 204 hits while batting .311. Last year, 1978, he missed three Reds games for the first time in 6 years. He had 103 runs scored, but only 198 hits while batting a mere, for him, .302. Now, it doesn't take much of a mathematician to figure out that he's been going downhill the last 3 years. The Phillies are giving him $3.2 million to make sure that he doesn't continue going downhill. Now, of course, Rose's performance is not the only criterion for what he's being paid. The fact is that he's going to draw 200,000 to maybe 300,000 more patrons to the vets this coming year. There's no question that his salary, at least for this very first year, will not be paid from a dime out of the Phillies' own pocket. Rather, it will be the fans, the ones who want to see him play for the Phillies, that will pay the extra money that the Phillies will give him. Now, this is all well and good. I'm firm in my belief that Pete Rose deserves every dime he's getting from one standpoint and one standpoint only. When someone is there willing to give, there's no reason why he shouldn't be willing to take. According to an analogy I read, if you'd worked for 16 years to become the best at your profession, would you turn down an incredible raise saying, no, I'm not worth that much money, no one is? I'm sure not. Therefore, Pete Rose deserves every cent that any owner wants to give him. However, it is my opinion that the entire Pete Rose deal may backfire on the Phillies. Here's why. For 4 years, Rose will be playing in the vet. He will lure fans, no question. But this first year is the key. The Phillies got Pete Rose because they figured that he could help them win a pennant. That pennant has to be won this year. If they don't win the pennant in 79, everything will go down the drain. The reasoning is fairly simple. By getting Pete Rose, they've instilled a new enthusiasm in all their fans. People know that Pete Rose means the pennant. They got Pete Rose because they want to win it all. Now, it's my opinion that Pete Rose is not the reason why they didn't win the pennant last year, or the year before, or the year before that. Pitching, it seems to me, has been the Phillies' big weakness over the past few years. Last year, it was no more evident by the fact that down the stretch, Warren Brewster had to be taken out of the bullpen to become a starter. Last year's rotation, outside of Lurch and Carlton, was terrible. Christensen was totally inconsistent and wound up with an ERA over 4. Lomborg and Cott wound up with ERAs over 5. Now, no one, and I mean no one, Yankees included, are going to win a World Series with Reggie Jackson and a bunch of...
Zusek here along with the master himself, Lou Oppenheimer. Score at halftime, 42-32. The Quakers lead the Deacons of Wake Forest. And Lou, you've given us your views at many a halftime in pre-recorded fashion, but tonight you're here to do it live. You have some statistics for the first half, but what about your general impressions about this game so far?
Penn has been quite successful without Bobby Willis, and that's a big surprise for Quaker fans. The turnover statistics are the big ones right here. Penn has given up only 9 turnovers, 16 for Wake Forest. And Wake Forest has been playing with 2 veteran guards, all ACC guard Frank Johnson, who's a junior, and Martell, who's a senior and co-captain. Yet they have nearly twice as many turnovers, so I look for Penn to continue their dominance unless Wake Forest can handle the ball better.
A couple of interesting points, Lou. First, Wake Forest seemed to come out on the court before the start of the game very intent on not being intimidated by the Palestra crowd. They seem to be smiling as the crowd booed them during their introduction, shaking fists a few number ones here and there, and they seem very, as I said, very intent on not being intimidated whatsoever, and they weren't in the opening moments, but as time wore on and the Quakers' hustling, ball-hawking defense started to get to them and started to cause some of those turnovers you talked about, they did seem to be a little more rattled than they were at the outset, and I think it'll be a big factor for them as to whether or not they can come back and calm things down.
Well, there's no question that the crowd here makes it difficult for any opponent to come back against the Quakers. But as I said, they have trouble hammering the ball. And when you mishandle the ball, the Quaker crowd is going to get on you. And the more you do it, the more they get on you, and the louder they get. And it's just a cyclical thing. And if they can't stop it, they're just going to have to pay the price the rest of the second half.
Wake Forest, of course, with a rather big height advantage all the way across the front line. They go 6'11", 6'10", and 6'6", in their starting three up front. The Quakers, of course, shorter at every position, at every matchup by usually 3 or 4 inches. But that height has not helped with Wake Forest very much on offense. They have not been successful in getting the ball inside. As a matter of fact, many of the turnovers that account for those, that the total that you mentioned, that came when they tried to force the ball inside and their big men just couldn't handle it.
Well, they're not a quick passing team. Unlike the Quakers, Tony Price a couple times running the middle and got a quick passing from that wide underneath for baskets. But they're not a quick passing team, and because of that, guys like John Stone and Harrison have just not been able to get the ball in good position. They started off with 1 or 2 plays inside, but the 2 have only combined for 8 points, while Matt White, the Quaker center, has 12 all by himself. Rebounds have been even, but with that tight advantage, if they can't take advantage of the Quakers off the board, they're going to be in trouble for this game.
Quakers have been successful in going inside, on the other hand, for their offensive game. A few times, however, they have had their shots blocked. They've been fortunate in that they've picked up a few fouls sometimes when their shots have been blocked, but a lot of shots have been blocked nonetheless, and very often the Quakers get the ball inside and it's all over. Price or Smith will put it up, or even Matt White will put it up, and it's as good as in the basket if they get the ball inside. But on many an occasion tonight, they've had them sent back the other way.
Yeah, well, when you're playing against a team that big, you've got to go inside occasionally. You can't just shoot from the outside, because then they'll bring the zone out. Early on, the Quakers scored inside, and they brought in Angelo Reynolds, and he hit 5 for 7 from the outside for 10 points, and that loosened up the zone considerably and kept it open for them inside.
The bright spot, I guess, for the Deacons so far has been Alvis Rogers, their great shooting freshman forward. At 6'6", he has 10 points from the outside, all on field goals, all from roughly the same spot. The left side, around 15 to 20 feet out, just about Kevin McDonald territory, I guess.
Yeah, he seems like a young version of McDonald, a little bit bulkier, perhaps. But as a freshman, he reminds me more of Adrian Dantley, who had that smooth touch starting with Notre Dame, and over 3 years, this guy could be All-ACC and perhaps All-American.
Quakers have gotten away with slacking off him a little bit there when he's on the weak side, and but a few times they've been burned also, and it seems if Rogers gets that shot, he's going to make it. So the Quakers are going to have to make sure they take it away with some team defense, because it doesn't appear that Tim Smith can handle him one-on-one. The size differential is just too much. Although Rogers is listed at 6'6", I just can't believe that, because he really seems to tower over Smith, who is supposed to be 6'5 himself.
Well, if he's 6'6", the very big 6'6", he's burly. He must outweigh Smith by at least 20 pounds, and certainly that's a big advantage anytime. He's muscling in, and he's getting those shots off. I would have to say that the Quakers right now are playing him wisely, though, because if he's the only one who scores for them, he can only do so much from the outside. And their 6'11 and 6'10 men can't get more than 6 or 8 points and a half, and the Quakers are without a question going to come out at the head.
I guess the story that everybody in the Palestra is buzzing about at halftime, however, is the outside shooting of Angelo Reynolds. Where did he come from, Lou?
I don't know. They said he's going to be the 13th man on a 12-man squad and not go on road trips. But if he keeps shooting like this, there's no question they have to bring him along.
Of course, with Bobby Willis injured, the sprained ankle, and I'm sure it was mentioned at the top of the show, he's in a cast that will come off, is scheduled to come off tomorrow. the starting guards become Ken Hall and Gene Salters, and Angelo Reynolds has been the first man off the bench in the backcourt for the Quakers. David Jackson was assumed to have that role, but apparently Bob Weinauer, maybe due to matchups or something he saw in practice, he decided to go with Angelo Reynolds, and it's been a very pleasant surprise. He shot 5 from 7, and all from away outside.
That's very true. In the basketball preview in the Dallas, Pennsylvania, Weinauer was quoted as saying he was the best shooter on the freshman level we had, and certainly he proved it out there tonight. This is his first exposure in front of the Quaker crowd, and they loved it. A little bit more of that, and he'll be the new Sam Green wearing number 12.
Well, he does wear number 12, as does Green. He shoots from the corner, shoots from, it looks like he's willing to shoot from anywhere so far tonight. That's characteristic of young ball players. If they get their chance, they want to show what they can do. That can backfire, because if you take that 20-footer and you don't make it, the coach looks and says, who the hell are you coming into the game as your first start or your first varsity playing time and taking shots from 20 feet and missing them. On the other hand, if you make them, you can establish yourself, get yourself into the lineup, and maybe for good.
Well, I think that's the key, Paul. He's developed some respect from the opposition as well as his own teammates. And right now, when you come into a game, that's the most important thing. From now on, they can't leave him open, and the Quakers also know they can count him for a clutch basket from the outside.
That will be very important, as Wake Forest has been content to stay in a zone defense, most often a 1-2-2 defense, usually with Johnson, the point guard, has the defense way outside, trying to cover both of the 10 guards sort of at the same time. But kind of outside shooting has forced Wake Forest to open things up. And, well, it really did. That's, I think, made a lot of the inside passing by the Quakers possible.
There's no question about that. You have to realize that when you've got a big front line of Rogers, Johnson, and Harrison, none of them are particularly quick, and they've got to sort of sit back and hope they miss and, cover the board. But when you're hitting from the outside, there's nothing they can really do unless they change their squad and bring in some quick players.
We're coming up on the hour, so we remind you that you're listening to this Penn basketball game, as you can listen to all Quaker basketball on WXPN in Philadelphia. Our next broadcast will be on December 29th, and well, also on December 30th, as we will be coming live from San Diego. The Quakers playing in the Cabrillo Christmas Classic being hosted by San Diego State. The opening opponent for the Quakers will be Iowa. Stanford and, of course, San Diego State, the host team, are also in the tournament. We're getting ready for the second half of this ball game. The Quakers lead Wake Forest by the score of 42-32. Quakers getting a couple of last-minute instructions from Bob Weinauer. Wake Forest already on the court. Wake Forest will go with the same starting lineup that opened the first half. Alvis Rogers, Larry Harrison, and Jim Johnstone up front. Eddie Sherman and Frank Johnson in the backcourt. Quakers likewise go with the same starting lineup. Salters and Hall, the guards. Smith and Price flanking. Matt White, the center, in the forecourt. Johnstone and White will square off for the second half tip. The Quakers will move right to left, as we see it here behind the Quaker bench in the flesh, with the Quaker crowd on its feet for the start of the second half. Paul Rzucek here with Lou Oppenheim, Tony Alteri, and Larry Joseph, who brought you the first half action, standing by. Both teams ready. Ball is up, tip controlled by White, over to Salters, but stolen away quickly by Harrison. Harrison hands it to Thurman as the Quakers call for a double dribble, but no call. Thurman now working against Salters, the Quakers, in a man-to-man. Thurman works the right side, passes over to Harrison. Harrison tries to bounce it inside, but it's taken by Hall. Hall rushes across the midcourt line. Driving one on three, he lays it up to hand. But no basket. Foul on the play, foul before the shot. Pretty move by Kenny Hall, but to no avail. Blocking foul on the play.
It looks like that might be called continuation as Hall started his shot, but the ref said no, and they're going to take it out on the side.
Foul is on Frank Johnson. That's his first personal in the ballgame. Timmy Smith went down for the Quakers. He turns over to Salters. Salters works the top of the key, looking for a pass. Wake Forest now in a man-to-man defense of their own. Pass goes over to Price on the far side. Price pulls inside to White, who opens up in. Beautiful pass by Matt White.
Same play as always. The quick passes inside are going to keep getting the Deacons in trouble.
44-32, Quakers lead. Thurman controls for Wake Forest. He works the right side, hands over to Johnstone. Johnstone turns a twist, baseline jumper, which is good, 44-34. Quakers still lead. Here comes Salters the other way. Salters works the top of the key, looks for the Quakers to set up. Deacons now in a zone defense after the made basket. Smith now on the far side, sends over to White in the corner. White has this pass tip, but it's controlled by Price. Price looks to make a move, now holds up, looks to pass cross-court over to Smith. Smith, 20-footer, yes!
Tony Price must have 4 or 5 assists right now. He's really moving the ball around the court well.
6 points for Timmy Smith. Thurman controls the other way for the Deacon. Quick bounce pass inside for Johnson. Johnson looks to work inside for the reverse, but it's called for traveling, so another turnover by that supposedly experienced backcourt has the Deacons in trouble once again. They're down by 12. Quakers have the ball and the lead, 46-34. Opening moments in the second half, James Salters controls for the Quakers, crosses the midcourt line, working against Thurman. Pass over to Price is knocked away by Rogers, but it goes out of bounds, so there will still be Quaker ball.
Again, you said Johnson making the turnover. Right now, they're going to have to control that. They're down by 12 points in the second half, and they're getting threatened by a blowout right here.
Wake Forest now goes into a full-court press, but the pass comes in easily to Tony Price. Price looks to drive on Rogers by himself, pulls up on the baseline, 15-footer, taps along both ends of the rim, rebound pulled down by Smith. Smith now in the corner, bounce passes out for White. White holds over the top of the head, sends back outside for Salters. Salters bounces in for Hall, who reels with a 15-footer off the glass, no good. Rebound pulled down by Quick, leaves it up and in. Beautiful offensive rebound by Tony Price.
Great play by the Quakers.
48-34, Quakers lead. Quick pass the other way for Johnson. He puts up a 20-footer off the glass. So the fast break right after the basket converts the 2 points for the Deacons. Long pass comes down. It's tipped out of bounds by Harrison, so it'll still be Quaker ball at the other end.
Quakers just have to slow it down a little, keep their tempo. They've got a lead, and they've got the better ball handlers right now. They just take it easy and work it in.
48-36, Quakers lead. Salters looks to inbound underneath his own basket and does to Hall. Hall standing in the corner right in front of us. Now works it back outside, watched by Johnson. Now he bounce passes over for Price back in the corner. Price works out to the foul line, loops it cross court for Smith. 20-footer off the front of the rim. No good rehound, pulled down by Price. Loses it momentarily. Back outside, back to Price. Price looks to make a move. Now he holds. Sends back out to the foul line for Salters. Salters over to Hall. Hall now over to Price. Price with the 20-footer from the top of the key. No good rebound by Price. Price puts it up. It's fouled. Tony Price will go to the line. Magnificent effort at this end by Tony Price, almost fouled by himself.
Price is really taking control of the board at the beginning of the second half. He's 6 or 5 inches shorter than the other centers in the game, but he seems to be getting those rebounds. It's the quickness again.
Wake Forest has not seen that. The mobility up front that consistently boxed out the Quakers is both Tony Price and Tim Smith have been able to slip inside the big man of the Deacons and get offensive rebounds time and time again. Price will take 2 shots as he goes to the line. 2 team fouls already on Wake Forest, and that's unusual. They're easily leading the Quakers in the team foul department, both in the first half and here again in the early stages of the second half. 17-36 remaining as Price makes good on the first of the free throws. Quakers have a chance to go up by 50-36. They do as Price makes good on the second. Thurman, quick bounce pass ahead for Johnson. Johnson drives, goes baseline, sends back out for Rogers. This off his hand and out of bounds. And once again, the guards turn it over, and the Quakers will inbound. James Salters over to Kenny Hall. And Salters will slow things down just a bit. He crosses the midcourt line, working the near side, breaks away from Johnson, lays it up. James Salters is holding his stomach in a little bit of pain, but I think he's all right. He just got away from his man. Johnson rolled the lane, laid off a beautiful shot, off the glass, and picked up the foul. So Salters will go to the line to try to complete the 3-point play.
Tremendous play by Boone Salters. Right now, he's moving the ball well. He's brought it. Frank Johnson has swept off. He went right in against the 6'11 freshman Johnson. Put it up over him and got the foul.
A lot of people worried about the Quaker guards in this game. They worried about the absence of Bobby Willis, Kenny Hall, Gene Salters, and also Angelo Reynolds. Have done just a fabulous job, and Salters has been leading the way as a senior member of that backcourt crew. Quakers now lead 53-36. The Salters made good on the free throw. Morgan now into the game for Wake Forest control. He hands back to Thurman, who has it stolen away by Hall. Hall, quick lead pass ahead. He's going to pass away, but Salters gets it back underhand. Quakers had an excellent opportunity, but they really couldn't convert. Johnson now drives the other way, and a timeout is called by the officials. It's called by Wake Forest, and they want to talk things over. They're down very quickly, 53-36 with 17:01 remaining in the game. Right now, it's just quickness. They haven't been doing it with quickness. All year long, we said they've got a quick team, and indeed, they're showing it right here. They've been moving the ball very well, and the guards are taking control, even though there's a very little bar to the experience. A quick start to the second half has been the trademark of Quaker basketball team, both last year and in the early stages of this season so far, and they've not been disappointing here tonight. It's just collect the crowd, loves the fact that they've begun to open things up here against Wake Forest. They now have a 17-point lead, 53-36, 17:01 remaining in the ballgame. The Quakers did not call the timeout, as Bob Weinhardt does not like to make very effective, very good use of his timeout. He likes to let things go on the court. Wake Forest, however, has called another one, as they are obviously the shaking ball club at this point.
Well, I don't know, Paul, but it seems, like I said before, that the Flyers on Wake Forest, they have a senior and a junior in the game, Dale and Johnson. They just can't seem to get the tempo down. They're down 17 points, and the veterans, they know you've got to slow it up, work the ball around, get the first few baskets, and then work themselves back into the game.
Guards seem to have had so much trouble bringing the ball up against the Quaker pressing defense with their guards that they haven't been able to make the good pass inside and utilize their big men.
Johnson will inbound now for Wake Forest after the timeout. Ball is handed over to Rogers. He hands back to Thurman. He's been the point guard for Wake Forest throughout this ball game. Now goes back to Johnson. Johnson over to Thurman. Thurman looks inside. The Quakers now in a zone defense. Back over to Johnson. He sends over to Thurman. Thurman looks to pass. He's taken away by Kenny Hall. Kenny Hall has a huge deal here tonight. He crosses the mid-court line. Quick bounce pass. A head for Salter. 15-footer from the corner. No good. Rebound White. But a foul is called. And I believe the foul is going to be on Matt White. Pushing off in that position. Or reaching over the top.
Yeah, he rolled into the back of the freshman Johnson and got cut. It's only his third, though. None of the Quakers is really in any kind of foul trouble. He's the only one with three.
But Matt White will remain in the ball game at this point. Coach Weinauer not too concerned. The Helms now back in the game, replacing Thurman at the guard position. So Helms will be the point guard with Johnson in the backcourt also. Helms now controlled. He's watched by Salters. The Quakers back in the man-to-man defense. Bounce pass into Johnstone. Johnstone takes the 20-footer. No good. Rebound ripped down by Smith. Just double team, but gets it away to Salters. Salters crosses the mid-court line. Holds at the top of the key. Now bounce pass inside for Price. He's roughed up from behind by Johnstone, I believe. And I believe it's Johnstone that's going to be called for the foul. No, it's not. They're calling it on Albus Rogers, but a foul inside at any rate. And the Quakers will inbound on the side. The second personal on Albus Rogers. Tom Condon checks in for Matt White now, so I guess Bob Weinauer wasn't too happy with Matt White being in with the rebound.
I think he's playing it safe, Paul. He's taking it slow.
Ball is inbounded from underneath his own basket by James Salters. After Tony Price, back to Salters, working the far side. He sends over to Smith. Smith holds top of the head. One for Price. Price banks that. No good. Rebound pulled down by Johnson. Johnson loses it momentarily, but now crosses the midcourt line. Quick bounce pass ahead for Helms. Salters hands it out of bounds, but a foul is called. And I believe Salters is going to be called for a blocking foul just before Johnson was able to make that pass.
Woods is taking some tough balls, but he looks like he's all right. A small cut maybe over his eyes. But I think it's interesting to note that Wake Forest has put a freshman in the game and Joy to try and control their ball and try and get some more movement and try and work it inside. And it's very interesting that they've taken out someone with varsity experience.
Guy Morgan also into the game at the forward position. He, too, is a freshman. Helms now controls in the backcourt, working against Paul. Passes over to Morgan. Morgan tries to drive only, but loses the ball. Has it taken away by Price now. Ball control. Ball push bounce pass ahead for Smith. Smith gets it across the midcourt line now. Hands to Salters. Salters passes over to Price. Price holds at the top of the key. Puts it on the floor. Now sends over to Smith. Smith holding on the far side now. Gives it over to Salters. Salters over to Hall. Hall 20-footer. Yes.
Great play by Hall. He just looks his man off. Looks to the right. Went straight up with the jump shot and put it right through.
Helms comes back the other way for the Deacons. He passes quickly to Rogers. Rogers dribbles out into the corner. Passes inside for Rogers. Rogers over to Johnstone, who lays it up off the backboard. No good, but a foul is called. I believe it's going to be on Kenny Hall. Kenny Hall picks up his, I think it's his second personal in the ballgame. We'll wait for the scoreboard, but Johnstone will go to the line to shoot two shots. The second personal for Kenny Hall it is. And Vincent Ross checks into the game for Kenny Smith.
So far, Smith has really not been able to get on track in his offense. He only has 4 points. And I think he's going to bring in Ross to help off the boards right now.
Johnstone has not been very impressive at 6'11". Makes the first of his free throws, however. 15-23 remaining in the ballgame. 55-37, Quakers lead. 18-point goal for Pennsylvania. Johnson makes good on the second of the free throws. Price will inbound for the Quakers. Hands over to Salters. Salters now working against Helms. Walter sends over to Condon. Condon holds at the foul line. Now drives inside. Pitches off to Hall. Hall back outside for Ross. Ross court for Price. Bullets inside for Condon. Can't handle it. He is pushed outside. A foul is called. Foul will again be on Johnstone. I believe that is his third personal foul.
He's just driving Condon. He's going to be taking advantage of the spawner from the freshman Johnstone. Looks like they're putting back in Angelo Reynolds. He's played for Kenny Hall. Quickly crowd loves that. They wanted to be more of a long bomb to run a slip in the first half.
Non-shooting foul for the Quakers. That, however, is the fourth personal on Johnstone. He remains in the ballgame at the moment. The Quakers will inbound underneath their own basket. Salters holds over the head. Sends way outside for Price. Price one-hand pass to Ross. Ross puts up the 15-footer off the side of the rim. No good. Rebound pulled down by Morgan. Morgan elbows Condon and hands over to Helms. Helms works the left side, spins into the lane now, hands over to Rogers. Rogers puts up the 15-footer short, gets his own rebound, looks to go up again against Condon and banks it home.
Nice move by Rogers inside, and Tony Price sends it back to Dean Salter from Pennsylvania. 55-40, Quakers lead by 13, 14-42, remaining in the ballgame. Salter's now joined by Reynolds in the backcourt. Price now has it at the foul line, puts up the 15-footer, no good. Rebound pulled down by Ross, but a foul is called away from the ball. I believe it's going to be on Reynolds pushing off against Johnson, and that's very far away from the ball, Lou, but that's the call.
No, I think they gave it to Condon underneath.
Looks like a 2 seconds. Okay, that's not so far away from the ball after all. So now Condon picks up his second personal foul. Helms brings it the other way for the Deacons. The Deacons, however, want timeout. They're going to talk things over once again. So with a score of 55-40, 14-27 remaining in the game, the only thing the Quakers really have to worry about here, it looks like, Lou, is the kind of letdown that they experienced against LaSalle when things started to slow down in the second half over a week ago.
Well, I think if they stick to their basic game, move the ball around soundly, and let Price get it inside to White or to Condon, whoever's playing the post, I think they'll be all right. They also brought in Reynolds, so if they have any problems with the inside game, they can give it to him outside and let him loosen it up a little bit and take a few of those 20-footers.
Well, at this point here in the Palestra, the score, as we mentioned, 55-40. The scoreboard flashes 10 next game versus Iowa in San Diego. We will be bringing you all the action live on WXPN in Philadelphia as the Quakers take on Iowa, in the first round of the Cabrillo Classic hosted by San Diego State in San Diego, California.
That's going to be a tough tournament. There's no question about it. San Diego State, the host team, has beaten San Francisco with 7-footer Bill Cartwright this season. So by no means are the Quakers going to have a breeze down there. They're going to have two very difficult games.
Iowa is supposed to be a very tough team also. They were picked as somewhat of a dark horse among the other fine teams in the Big Ten. I think the Big Ten has three teams in the top 20 at this point in time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe you're right. Michigan and Michigan State are the other two as far as I know.
I think Minnesota is the third, and Iowa kind of a sleeper in the Big Ten. When you have three teams in the top 20, you kind of are reluctant to recognize a fourth, so many people around the country highly respect Iowa. Deacons will inbound in the presence of Johnson. Johnson is joined in the backcourt by Helmsville, Rogers, Morgan, and Johnstone up front. Johnstone playing the center position. Helms now in the ballgame, He'll be in with Johnson, so it's the starting backcourt for the Deacons. Helms with Johnson. Johnson working the far side, passes inside for Morgan. Morgan goes up with his foul by Ross, and the shot is good. I don't know how that one went in, how that shot went in, because Ross just clobbered him, so Morgan will get a chance to make a three-point play. And Ross picks up his first personal foul.
Tough play for Vince Ross. The freshman coming in here went to the first base, went straight up, great vertical leap, but unfortunately hit him over the arm and over the back.
Vincent Ross has shown Palestra fans a great deal of jumping ability and talent, but as of yet has not shown the kind of experience that you'd want in the starting front line of a Pennsylvania Quakers team. Tim Smith now controls for the Quakers as the free throw is missed. Reynolds has it in the backcourt. Reynolds now looks for Salters and finds him. Pass goes quickly over to Smith. Smith from the corner. Smith from 20 feet out. There's a foul on the play. Basket counts. I believe there was a push by one of the Deacon big men inside as the Quakers were battling for the offensive rebound. Yeah, the Quakers will get the ball back in addition to making it to the basket by Tim Smith.
Yeah, that was John Hemmer, number 40. He's also looking for the game. He's a 6'7 junior.
Hendler comes in replacing Johnstone. Ball goes inside for Reynolds. Reynolds brings it outside to the top of the key. He's blocked by Helms. Now works it back over for Tony Price on the near side. Price now sends out for Salter. Off the hand of Reynolds, and it's taken away by Johnson. Johnson looks to get things going for the Deacons. Crosses the midcourt line, gets to the top of the key, holds up there, passes over for Rogers. Rogers drives baseline, goes up and runs smack into Ross, and calls for an offensive foul. Vincent Ross stood his ground, picked up the offensive foul as both bodies collided in midair. It was Rogers that went down. Referee called it. Ross had position, so a smart defensive play by Vincent Ross. Could have gone either way, really, Lou.
Well, I don't even know if they called it an offensive. I didn't see the signal behind the head, but the Quakers do have the ball, and they're out in the front court right now.
Quick pass by Smith inside for Price. He lays it up and in. Beautiful move by Tony Price. Ducks under the arm. The outstretched arm of Morgan inside. Tony comes back the other way. 59-42. Quakers lead. Ball is tipped away and taken by Smith. But a whistle on the play. Foul is on Vincent Ross. That will be his third personal foul. And David Johnson Jackson prepares his second to the game for the Quakers, replacing James Salter.
I think Booney's bothered by that cut over his eyes and the bring in Jackson for his first action. Right now, that move by Price exemplified the entire game for the Quakers. Quick moves underneath the easy basket. Eakins really just couldn't contain that move whatsoever. Helms controls for Wake Forest. Passes over to Johnson. Johnson inside for Morgan. Looks to dunk it. Cannot. The ball hits the rim and goes outside, but a foul is called, and I believe the foul is going to be on Ross again. And Ross will pick up his third personal. That was his second personal, by the way, the last time. So Morgan will go to the line to shoot two shots. I really don't think he had any chance to dunk the ball at all, but Vincent Ross clearly drew the blocking foul.
Well, you have to kind of feel for Vincent Ross. You want to impress the crowd, and it's very difficult when you're impressing to stand your ground inside and not pick up the foul.
On the last play where I called an offensive, there was no foul at all, as you mentioned, Lou. I really can't understand how they called nothing, as both players went flying, but they merely called it Rogers went out of bounds after the collision, so an unusual call. Shot is missed and controlled by Wake Forest, but Morgan loses it, goes quickly ahead to Smith off his hands. He now controls on the side court. Inside for Price, but Price is going to be called for scrambling in the lane. So the Quakers quickly turn the ball over. They still lead by 16, however. 59-43, 12:56 remaining in the game. Helm is working in the back part. He's watched by Jackson. Jackson back there, up front for the Quakers, along with Kenny Hall. Pass now goes over for Helm. Helm is back to Johnson. Johnson puts up a spinning move off the rim. No good. Rebound batted around and taken by Price. And a foul is going to be called, I believe, on Morgan. Morgan gets called for pushing off on Tony Price inside. And they're over the limit, so Tony Price will get to shoot one and one at the other end. As both teams committed 17 fouls, both teams in the bonus situation.
Right now, the only thing stopping the Quakers from winning this game by 15 or 20 points is just the timing that they had in the first half. They're starting to get a little bit ragged. Fortunately for them, Wake Forest is too. If they can keep their composure, they'll have an easy win down the stretch.
First personal for Guy Morgan, the 6'8 freshman forward. Morgan has tried to shoot the ball just about every time he's had it. He's been a little too overeager on defense, and well, that's the problem, really, when you try to play freshman. Jackson is going to the line instead of Price, who was underneath. He misses the first free throw, but Smith controls the rebound. He sends back outside for Jackson. Jackson over to Hall. Hall looks to set things up. Bounce pass in for Smith. Hook shot, no good. Rebound batted around and taken by Price. Price looks to wheel. He's double-teamed. His shot is blocked, and it goes out of bounds, and it will still be Quaker ball. And a couple of Wake Forest players watched that one go out of bounds. I guess they didn't realize that it was off one of their own hands. So Handler a little upset with himself for Wake Forest. Smith now controls outside on the top of the key. Bounce pass quickly for Tony Price. Tony Price on the near side. Works his way out to the foul line. Now passes over to Timmy Smith. Smith bounces inside, but it's intercepted by Handler. Long lead pass for Johnson. Knocked away by Hall. With an ensure breakaway. Johnson gets his strike to put up a shot as he chases down the hall. Goes off the side of the backboard, and that's ruled out of bounds. Great play by Kenny Hall. He was a half step behind him. He laid down for it and knocked the ball away. Jackson double teams in the backcourt, and he's going to be fouled. The foul will be called on number 14, Frank Johnson. That's his first personal. And the Quakers will once again shoot one and one.
I think that's Tom. It is his first. They tried to double team him and force it, but when you have freshmen back there, he just couldn't control his arm, and he hit him over the wrist.
Foul is on Helm, but still his first personal. Quakers lead 59-43, 12:08 remaining in the ballgame. Jackson once again will go to the line. He missed on his first one-and-one attempt. The Quakers so far this year have been much better than in past years in shooting from the line, especially in key one-and-one situations. Last year, I remember they blew a game to Villanova just on the basis of foul shooting down the stretch alone. Shot is missed, however, by Jackson. Rebound battle for Handler controls, has it knocked out of his hands, but it's taken by Helms for the Deacon. Helms controls, goes over the midcourt line, passes quickly ahead to Rogers, back out to Helms. Helms bounce passes into Rogers, is off his hands and out of bounds, and they're calling a Quaker ball. And Tony Price had a hand on that, but they rule that it just hit Rogers and went out of bounds. So the Quakers, once again, are the beneficiaries of another Wake Forest turnover.
Unofficially, we have a turnover statistic of 21-12 in the Quakers' favor. There's no way Wake Forest can do that and win this game.
David Jackson comes out of the game. James Salters in low the rest of the court. He lays it in. Salters looked like he was going to hold up. Butter step move by Salters against two Wake Forest defenders. Lays it up and in. 61-43, Quakers lead. Salters in the backcourt now with Kenny Hall. Into the game for Wake Forest, David Morris at the guard position. He'll be working with Helms. Morris bounce passes inside for Morgan. Morgan back outside for Helms. Helms over to Morris. Morris now bullets it over to Helms, and they can't penetrate the Quakers' zone defense that they set up at this point. And now traveling is called on Helms, and Helms doesn't like that one bit, but it's going to be Quaker ball once again on the turnover.
There's no way the team is going to give up this way. They're just going to force them into more and more mistakes.
18-point Quaker lead, 61-43, 11-14 remaining in the ballgame. James Salford controls for the Quakers, passes quickly over to Tony Price. Price with the 20-footer from the corner, no good, rebound pulled down by Morris. Morris leads the pack 3-on-1 fast break, over to Rogers, bounces the shot off the backboard, it's controlled by Matt White, so the crowd really liked that as Rogers blew an easy layup on the 3-and-1. 3-on-1 fast break by the Deacons. Walters now brings it up for the Quakers. He works against Helms, now holds up, looking for the pass inside, willing to take his time. Passes over for White, both the pass inside for Price. Right now calls for an offensive foul, however, as he was working against Alvis Rogers. Put the shoulder down and tried to drive and picked up the offensive foul. First personal, however, on Tony Price. Price is coming out of the game now, along with Kenny Hall. They're bringing back in Angelo Reynolds and Vincent Ross, two freshmen out of West Philadelphia. 10:42 remaining in the game. It's not over yet, but the Quakers have things well in hand at the moment with 10:39 remaining and an 18-point 61-43 lead. Helms controls for the Deacons. Working the far side, sends over to Hendler. That's Johnstone back in the game. Johnstone has 8 shots blocked by White, but White will be called for the foul. Johnstone has looked for his outside touch in the second half. Has not really had it. That time White gave him a break, however, and fouled him from about 20 feet out.
It's a very necessary foul from Matt White. With the Quaker situation the way it is, picking up his fourth right now is really a big problem for the Quakers. Right now they haven't looked to replace him, but won't have to assume that Tom Condon's going to come back in shortly.
The first free throw by Johnstone is missed. He'll get another, however. Second charity throw is good. Reynolds takes the long pass by White, but can't handle it. Throws inside, and it's controlled by Johnstone. Johnstone quickly ahead to Helms. Helms for Wake Forest in the far corner, passes cross court for Morris. Morris 20-footer off the front of the rim, no good. Rebound batted by two Quakers, but a foul is called. I believe the foul is going to be on Morris inside. Now the foul is on Morris. That's his second personal. And into the game for Pennsylvania is Tom Leeson. Tom Leeson, I believe, with some of his first varsity action for the Quakers. He will replace Matt White, who sits down with four personals. The foul was on Mike Helms. Helms picked up his second, so it wasn't on Morris. I keep getting these fouls wrong. But Smith makes good on the first of the 1-1. The Quakers still in a bonus situation, as they will be for the remainder of this contest.
Leeson is looking for his first varsity points. It'll be interesting to see if he can get him now, Paul, being the only center on the end for the Quakers.
Smith also hits on the second, bringing his point total to, I believe, 6. We'll try to get that for you in a moment.
I think that was his 10th. 10 points for Jimmy Smith.
Rogers wheels down at the other end of the court. He misses the bank shot. Rebound is pulled down by Ross, but he has it knocked away from behind, and I believe Morgan is going to be called for a foul underneath. Quakers will once again shoot 1-1, and this game could really drag through the final 10 minutes if the Quakers have to shoot 1-1 for the remainder.
Right now, Vince Ross going to the line. He wants to establish himself a little bit inside. We've got a very young front line in there right now. The two big men, Ross and Leeson, both freshmen. It'll be nice to see them come out with a couple baskets and good rebounding.
Second personal, Ron Morgan. Ross gets a chance to add to his varsity point total of 2. First free throw is no good. He will not get a second in the 1-1 situation. Helms control for Wake Forest. Quick bounce pass ahead for Morris. Morris fights a bullet inside, but it's knocked out of bounds by Ross. No filthy Wake Forest ball, however.
Back in the game comes number 52 for Wake Forest, Larry Harrison. They're trying to bring him the double post right now against the Quakers.
Harrison, a starter for Wake Forest, did not really do all that much in the game and did not see all that much playing time, really, for a starter. Shot goes from Morris in the far corner. It's no good. Rebound by Ross, and he gets hacked with no call. Reynolds will now work in the backcourt for Salters. So it's Ross, Leeson, and Smith up front. Smith with the ball on the far side, hands over to Ross. Ross pass for Leeson. Leeson working the far side, hands to Reynolds. Reynolds holds over the head, looking for the pass inside, does not have it. Now puts on the floor, working against Morris. Bounce pass inside to Ross. Ross looks to make a move, but it's going to be called for travel.
Vince Ross still a little tight out here at the Palestra. Can't seem to find his bearings just right yet.
Helms controls for Wake Forest, crosses the midcourt line, hands to Harrison. Harrison throws up a prayer, and it somehow goes in from the foul line.
That was a real brick. I don't understand what that was. He just threw it up at the basket and played.
63-46, the Quakers still lead. Reynolds works against Morris for the Quakers at the top of the key. He sends over for Salters. Salters works the far side, hands over to Reynolds. Reynolds pulls over the top of the head at the top of the key. Looks the pass inside, cannot now. Passes instead over for Salters. He forces it in for Smith, who lays it up and in. Smith left all alone inside and didn't make any mistakes. Well, the Quakers go up by the score of 65-46. They lead by 19, 12 points for Timmy Smith. Helm is looking to try to get things going for Wake Forest. Loses the ball momentarily, but it's picked up by Rogers. He sends over to Morris at the top of the key. Morris looks to go inside the lane, looks one way, passes to Rogers. His shot is no good. Rebound is battled for and taken by Ross. Ross throws a one-handed pass out to Reynolds, and Reynolds will get us assaulted. He'll take his time crossing the mid-court line. Salters now works at the top of the key, drives the lane, looks to dish off, but cannot. But a foul will be called, and I believe it's going to be an offensive foul on James Salters. Well, I could be wrong on that. Yeah, it is an offensive foul on James Salters. Salters, with a typical grin on his face, he did not like that call, but tried to take on the whole Wake Forest team by himself and only picked up his third personal foul as a result.
These two substitutions, we have Tony Price and Tom Condon into the game for the Quakers. We have Will Singleton, who we haven't seen yet, for Wake Forest into the game, along with number 23, Benny McCabe. Go ahead. So it looks like both teams really substituting right now with 8:13 to go, and the Quakers with a 19-point lead.
McCabe and Johnson will now be in the backcourt. Up front will be Rogers, Harrison, and Singleton. Singleton now controls, sends back outside for Johnson. Johnson puts up the 20-footer here. Johnson, pretty 20-foot shot that he showed in warm-up, but not really during the game. James Salters comes the other way for the Quakers, 65-48. The Quakers still lead, 7:48 remaining in the contest. Condon now has the ball for the Quakers, looks to drive, cannot, but he's fouled, and I believe the foul will be called on Johnson of Wake Forest.
I think that's all for him. That should be his fifth. He's going to be coming out of the ball game.
Fifth personal, you're right, Lou. Johnson sits down, and Johnson, another 6'11 player that looks to give the Quakers a lot of trouble in the height department, at least on paper before this game started, but really the height advantage of Wake Forest has not bothered the Quakers at all in this ballgame, or at least not to any significant degree. Hendler checks in to replace him, the 6'7 junior forward. So there's really no center in the ballgame now for Wake Forest. Well, I guess you could count Harrison as a center. Well, the Harrison and Hendler up front, and also Singleton. Johnson and McCraig in the backcourt. The Quakers make a few substitutions. Paul and Salters in the backcourt. Tom Condon now in the ball game. Timmy Smith and Tony Price up front. Both free throws are good. But traveling called as the Quakers, as Wake Forest brings it up at the other end. And Johnson doesn't like that at all. He's had a very, very frustrating evening here in the Palestra. And despite his intent upon not being intimidated at the start of this game, he has led, I think, Wake Forest in turnovers if anybody has at the guard position. And he is a senior. Salters brings it up for the Quakers. Quick pass inside for Smith. He's left all alone. Once again, he blows the layup and knocks it in. That's been the rebound. Timmy Smith, and that's his 14th point of the game, and he has very seldom made mistakes. At the other end, Rogers takes a quick shot. Singleton takes a shot, but it's no good. And the rebound is controlled by Price, who hands quickly to Salters. 69-48. Quakers still lead. 7:10 remaining in the game, and it's beginning to look like the Quakers have very little to worry about. Foul will be called on McCraig, who was defending against Salters. And Salters will get a chance to shoot one and one.
What do you think is really to be enjoying himself out there? He knows he's got control of the ball and control of his game, and he's going to go to the line for a one and one.
I said this could be a very dull ball game if you spend the rest of the game at the free throw line, and so far that's what we've been doing quite a bit of. But there's really no way around it. Both teams are over the limit. Eddie Poole gets set to check into the game. We'll probably check in for either Smith or Price.
Walters rolled in that foul side. He had a big win. Yes, you're right. It's Tim Smith coming out of the game for Ed Poole. 6'5 senior out of Orlando for the win.
Eddie Poole makes his first appearance in this ball game. Walters gets a chance to make good on the second of the one and one. And he does. Switches it right in. Last one rolled in. This one, no question. McCray controls for Wake Forest. Hands quickly to Johnson. 11 points for Salters. Pass intercepted by Price. Price quickly ahead to Salters. Bounce pass ahead. Broken up by... It's fought for inside, and a foul is going to be called on Price. The pass was originally broken up by McCray, and it just went all over the place as there was Poole and Price fighting for it for the Quakers, and McCray and a few other Wake Forest players battling for it, but Tony Price is eventually called for a foul on the loose ball. So Wake Forest will get a one-and-one situation. We'll wait to see who goes to the line. Singleton steps up to the free throw line. Second foul on Tony Price, which I don't really think the foul situation in the Quakers starting lineup is going to be all that important a factor in this ball game.
No, I look for some mass substitutions right now, get some of the freshmen, sophomores, and playing time.
at Tulane, Bob Weinauer waited until the last minute of the ballgame before he took out his starting lineup, and Tulane started to shove people around, kind of throwing Bob Weinauer enough is enough. But it looked like Bob Weinauer is substituted a little more freely. Action at the other end. Penny Hall taking a shot, but it's pushed away. I believe the foul is going to be on Harrison. Smaller goes the line to shoot two shots. Second foul on Harrison. And we'll give you less details, play-by-play action as things start to get a little bit ragged here as time winds down. 6:39 remaining. 71-48, the Quakers lead, and it looks like they're going to have things well in hand the rest of the way as Morgan checks back in for Harrison. Harrison wears a rather large knee brace, and that may be part of his problem as he really hasn't been all that big a factor here tonight, and I guess they don't want to risk any further injury at this point in the ballgame if he's going to get a seat. Harrison only finished the game with 4 points. At 6'10", or 6'11", if he's listed 2'18", you would expect a lot more. Hall makes good on the first of the free throws. So the Quakers go up by 72-48. Hall gets a chance for another. Hits the front of the rim in the backcourt and drops through. Johnson will work in the backcourt with Dale now, checks into the game for Wake Forest. Dale feeds over for Rogers. Rogers tries to drive one-on-one against the whole Quakers team, but it's stripped of the ball by Tony Price. He leaves it for James Salters, who will walk it up the midcourt line. Passes it out for Eddie Poole. Bounce pass in for Price. Price looks to go into the lane, puts up a fadeaway shot. No good. Rebound swept for him, taken by Condon. Condon over to Poole, but a foul is called. Eddie makes the shot, but it does not count. I believe the foul will be on Tom Condon. As, he pushed off before he got that rebound. We'll wait and see.
I think they called it traveling, Paul. A couple steps of the ball.
And traveling on Tom Condon it is. Dale controls for Wake Forest, 73-48 in the Quakers' lead. Kendler takes a shot for Wake Forest, bounces around from 15 feet out, and finally drops through. So with 55 remaining in the game, the Quakers have a very comfortable 23-point margin. Pass quickly ahead for Condon, and Condon is going to be, or call is going to be made on the play once again. Salters is rubbing his eye. His foul might have been away from the ball. Push on Salters. Now, the foul's going to be on Hendler, and he was down there with Salters, so I guess Salters picked up a foul after he made that length of the court pass to Condon. Third personal foul on Hendler, and Salters will shoot 1-1 at the other end.
Yeah, Bruins had some problems with that eye, but he'll keep hitting those free throws, and that's going to pay off for them.
We cannot detect any custom or vantage point, but it's very hard to. May just be some kind of a scratch, which can be very irritating when sweat begins to get into it. It doesn't have to be visible to hurt. Salters makes good on both of the 1-1, and Dale will work the other way for Wake Forest. Salters has 13 points in the ballgame. Dale being watched by Salters, passes over for Rogers. Rogers misses the shot. The rebound is fought for and knocked out of bounds, but I think they're calling it off Wake Forest with the Quaker ball, but now Wake Forest goes into a full court press. Pass comes easily inside to Eddie Poole, and now Kenny Hall will work against the press. He races across the midcourt line, but has it stolen away from behind by Johnson. Johnson crosses back the other way, looks to drive down the lane, wheels into lane, puts up a 10-footer, bounces around the rim, no good. Rebound pulled down by Hall. Hall hands over to Salters, and Salters looks to slow things down. He'll work 1-1 against Dale. 75-50, Quakers lead, 5:14 remaining in the game. Salters working at the midcourt line, being watched by Dale. Better get the ball inside. He does not, and they call it a jump ball. So Dale put on sufficient pressure for the 5-second call. It'll be a jump at midcourt between Salters and Dale. They're about the same height. I guess Salters maybe an inch, but Salters is not known for his jumping ability. And the Quakers make some unusual substitutions here, Lou.
Yeah, they're bringing back in Angelo Reynolds, Tim Smith, and Matt White, although why, I'm not really sure. They have a 25-point lead with 5 minutes to go.
Snap is controlled by Wake Forest, goes quickly ahead by Morgan, and Morgan rings it home. So, some solos for Wake Forest here tonight. They get the only dunk of the ball game so far. Reynolds will now get a chance to bring the ball up by himself. He's watched against Johnson. Wheels a few times, now gets it across the midcourt line. Now he's double-teamed, looks for Salters, barely is able to get it to him at the midcourt line. Salters holding once again at the midcourt line, passes ahead to Reynolds. Reynolds also behind the 5-second mark, is in trouble. Now he passes it over to Salters. Salters bumps into Morgan. And it's called for traveling. And there's a lot of contact on that play, but no foul was called. They called Salters instead for traveling as he bumped, got blindsided by Morgan. Morgan trying to pick up the offensive foul, but I guess I'll take the travel. Johnson looks to make a move at the other end. Hands off to Hendler, who takes the shot from the foul line. He really dribbles through the roof.
Right here, we have a 21-point lead for the Quakers with 4:26 to go. The game is definitely not in doubt. I'd like to see some of the Quakers, Tom Newton, Ted Slick, get into the game and get some varsity action.
Long lead pass for Kenny Smith. Kenny Smith goes to the rest of the court, and it's fouled from behind by Morgan. Couldn't get the shot off. He really slowed down, almost trying to draw the foul. He'll get two shots on the play, but I think Coach Weinhauer might have sweated a little bit. You always like to see the player just lay it up rather than take his look.
I think Kenny Smith is waiting for the player to clear and didn't realize just how far behind he was, and therefore Morgan got him on the wrist for a two-shot foul.
So it is now the starting front court for the Quakers. Smith, White, and Price. James Salter is also in the game, a starting guard. He's joined by Angelo Reynolds. So a few too many starters out for the Quakers, really, at this point in the ballgame. They lead 76-54. Both free throws are good. So the Quakers lead 77-54. Dow controls for Wake Forest. He works against Reynolds. Looks to pass over for Johnson and does. Johnson double-teamed by Price and Reynolds. Passes over to Rogers, who takes a shot from the foul line and makes good. He was really looking to pass in desperation. He shot it and made a nice shot out of it. 77-56, 14 points for Rogers, who's been the offensive star for Wake Forest. Mounts pass by Salters inside for Smith, but it goes off his hands and out of bounds. I think he was trying to pass it, and it slapped away at the last second. Now inbounds quickly for Wake Forest. Gets it right back from Johnson. Crosses the midcourt line. Works the top of the key. Now holds there. Bends over for Hendler. Hendler puts up the 20-footer and hands it. So it's 77-58, 4 points for Hendler. Salters comes the other way for the Quakers. He works outside at the midcourt line. Passes over for Reynolds. Reynolds will send over for Price. Price takes a 15-footer from the baseline. No good. Gets his own rebound, but has it knocked away, and a foul will be called. I believe the foul is going to be on Morgan inside. We'll wait for the indication.
Foul is on Morgan. We have some more substitutions. Helms is coming back into the game for Wake Forest. And Vince Brock is coming out of place and Matt White for the Quakers.
Fourth foul on Morgan, so he's really picked up quite a few in the short time he's been in the ballgame. 77-58 to score. Price will go to the line to shoot two shots. He misses the first. Quakers lead 77-58, 3:34 remaining. Lineup for the Quakers will now be Vincent Ross, Tim Smith, Tony Price, and in the backcourt, Angelo Reynolds and James Salters. Ball is stolen away and now taken by Price. Price works in the backcourt with Reynolds. Finally gets it to Reynolds, and Reynolds will now bring the ball up. He crosses the midcourt line being watched by Helms. Looks to drive and does. Misses, but the rebound is pulled down by Ross and tucked in, but I don't believe the basket will count. A foul is called. Goaltending on the play?
No, he turns it over. Angelo Reynolds making his move, turn the ball over on his drive to the basket.
Okay, so the basket doesn't count at any rate. And Morgan will look to force his way inside. Ball comes into Hendler, but Hendler dribbles it off his feet and out of bounds. So once again, the Quakers win down. Now Kenny Hall comes back in. So the Quakers have, with the exception of Matt White, their starting lineup on the floor. And with 3:08 remaining in the game, that's kind of questionable with a 20-point lead, 78-58. Kenny Hall now controls the ball. Sends over to Salter. Salter. A pass for Tim Smith on the far side. Bounce pass into the Salters all alone, leaves nothing in, and a foul. So Salters will go to the line and try to complete the 3-point play, and this is really getting to be insult to injury, Lou.
Really, it's 15 points for Salters, and quite frankly, I'd like to see Weinhauer empty the bench a little bit. The 22-point lead with less than 10 minutes to go in this game, and it would be nice to get some of the stars out of the game for the Quakers and get a big hand that they deserve.
There have been a couple of players that have not checked into the ballgame as of yet. Ted Flick, notably, is the only one I can think of at the moment.
I believe he is the only one of the Quakers, although Weekman was only in for a few seconds.
That is correct. Salters makes good on the free throw, so it's 81-58. And new player Eddie Thurman, well, he's not a new player, he was a starter back into the ballgame. Ball is stolen away by Hall, but his attempted pass to Ross goes off Ross's hands and out of bounds, so he'll still go to Wake Forest. Helms passes inside, but it's deflected out of bounds by Price. And the Quakers really should loosen up at this point with 2:44 remaining. Helms looks to inbound again. Rebound is, the pass is slapped around. It's controlled by Salters, who bounces the ball about 8 times on the floor in one spot and finally decides to bring it up. Salters now passes ahead for Ross. Ross back outside to Hall. Hall bullet pass inside for Smith and passes blindly inside. And it goes off the hands of Vincent Ross and out of bounds, but was really the bad pass by Tim Smith that caused Ross to lose the ball. Thurman now brings it up for Wake Forest with 2:23 remaining in the game. Thurman will take the 20-footer and hits it. So once again, the starting guard showing outside touch, but way too late. Salters will come the other way for the Quakers as Bob Weinhauer sends Eddie Cool and another player to the sideline. I can't see who it is yet, but we'll advise you of that situation as soon as they come into the game.
I think it's number 5, Ben Jackson.
Salters working all by himself on the far side. Bounce pass for Price. Price passes outside for Smith. Smith stand at the top of the key. Now you pass it up, leaves it up to Hager, and the crowd loved that one. And a foul, I believe, on the play, so Russ will go to the line and try to complete the three-point play. Davis Jackson and Eddie Poole stick into the ballgame, and they're all patting Vincent Ross on the behind, because I think everybody's cheering for Vincent Ross to just play a little bit of offensive production, so it's nice to see, but it was really a beautiful alley-oop pass by Tim Smith, who made that bucket possible. The West Philadelphia connection between Tim Smith and Vincent Ross, as our statistician Tony Otteri points out. Free throw is missed by Ross, so once again, he fouls to connect from the free throw line. Sherman wins down for Wake Forest. With 1:54 remaining in the game. Quakers up by 23, 83-60. Shot from way outside by Morgan is no good. Rebound is pulled down by Ross, and he gets the hand again. Jackson controls now for the Quakers. Pulls it up to the top of the key. Pulls up there, and a foul will be called on Sherman as Jackson has some contact with him. And Reynolds will again get him back into the game. Tony Price comes out and gets a hand from the crowd as a Kenny Hall. Okay, it's about 5:40 to go. The five. We're going to try again next year at ACC, and both Virginia and Wake Forest has gone down to the Quakers here on the Palesco. Quakers may eat some of those words in a possible tournament game, but right now it looks like the Palesco owns the ACC, or at least the Quakers do at any rate. And David Saxon goes to the line to shoot 1-1.
Really a strong performance by the Quakers overall. The game was never really in doubt. On a 23-point lead, it's just garbage time from here on in.
Wholesale substitutions for both teams, and we'll just keep you apprised of who scores the points, really, in the remaining minute and 40 seconds in the ballgame. David Jackson makes good on the first of the 1-1. That's his first point of the ballgame, and I believe the third of his varsity career, but we'll have to check that. Jason Ross gets the rebound on the missed second free throw. He makes good on the 15-footer. He gets another big hand from the collection crowd. They really like the young Vincent Ross. Nelson comes down quickly the other way. Passes for Morris, who puts up a running hook that's no good. But he was fouled, and I believe the foul is on Eddie Poole. We'll wait for the indication it's on Vincent Ross. And Ross picks up another foul, a little over anxious. Ross looking to block the shot and add to the cheers from the Palesco crowd. Instead gets his fourth foul, and Morris will get two shots as the baseline drive was no good.
Yeah, but Vince Ross is really electrified this crowd with the rebound, the bank shot off the lead pass, and he was going for a block shot. Not to give him credit, he's still trying. He wants to show these people that he's a clam freshman that he should be.
Morris misses the first, makes good on the second. Jackson comes down quickly the other way, bounce pass ahead for Leeson. He shot it blocked but controlled by Ross. Ross's double team has it taken out of his hands. It's controlled by Justin Ellis, who just checked into the ballgame. Ellis quickly ahead for Morris. Morris lays it up and in. 86-63. A minute left in the ballgame as Jackson brings it up for the Quakers. He works the backboard with Reynolds. Now he passes ahead for Reynolds. Reynolds will take one more bomb. It's good. And the crowd really loving it now. As Reynolds comes the other way for Wake Forest. 12 points for Angelo Reynolds. He had 10 in the first half. Did not see much playing time in the second half and not really been needed. Shot at the other end is no good by Alvis Rogers. A foul is called, and Rogers will go to the line to shoot two shots. With 45 seconds left in the game, there's really not all that much to say. Quaker lead is back up to 25. Paul Rizutek here with Lou Oppenheim. Tony Otteri and Larry Joseph, who brought you the first half action, are standing by. Rogers misses the first of a free throw, and the Quaker crowd starting to give the Wake Forest team a little bit of a rise here. They're on their feet trying to get Rogers to miss the second free throw, but he makes it. They go into a full-court press now, Wake Forest does, but Reynolds hands coolly ahead for Jackson, races up the court. Jackson has it stolen away by Rogers. Rogers will bring it up all by himself. Bounce passes ahead from Morris. Morris drives baseline, and it's blocked by Ross. Rebound, however, is taken by Morgan, and he lays it up and in. Long lead pass comes to Jackson the other way as this is getting really ragtag now. Jackson puts up a 15-foot turnaround. Rebound is tapped by Cool, but he can't control it. Wake Forest now battles for it. It goes off the official now controlled by Jackson. Cool makes the move inside, but it's called for travel. So the Quakers a little sloppy, but nobody really cares. It's not a polished team unit out on the floor anymore. No discredit to any of the players out there that are just not used to playing together in this type of condition. Long shot by Rogers is no good. The crowd picks it down. A jump shot is missed by Morgan inside, and the crowd really loves that. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. It's all over. 88-66, the Quakers win in a very, very impressive victory, Lou Oppenheim, over another ACC team. Yes, there's no question about it. The Quakers have played very well this year against both Virginia and Wake Forest. We don't have the official statistics, but I would have to say the turnovers were about 2-1 in Ken's favor.
And right now this crowd is just going wild. I think that missed dunk at the end that would have typified the night it was for Wake Forest. Nothing seems to be getting done right as they pull up to 3-4 on this season.
I really wonder how bad the Quakers would have been able to run it up if they had Bobby Willis. Perhaps it wouldn't have made any difference at all, but Quakers going into the game really had very questionable depth at the guard position. Angelo Reynolds came in and showed surprising poise and a great outside shot in the first half. He made 5 field goals from long range, added another in the second half and did a credible job on defense and his ball handling ability. And the same really couldn't be said for any of the Wake Forest guards, starting or otherwise. But I have to say that if Wake Forest came into this game with any optimism, it was because of the guard position. I think that with Sermon, Dale, and Frank Johnson, they felt they must have had an advantage when Bobby Willis out. But Angelo Reynolds came in, and whatever doubt there was totally removed. He had 5-7 in the first half, and ended the game with 12 points. We'll give you total point statistics while we have them total very quickly for the Quakers. Tim Smith finished with 16 points, as did Gene Salter. Matt White had 14. Sam Hall with 13. Tony Price with 10. Tom Condon with 2, David Jackson with 1, Vincent Ross with 4, and looking for Angelo Reynolds, he isn't on there, but we know he had 12, Luke.
That's right. These statistics that we're looking at are from the first 4 games, and Angelo Reynolds did not participate in them. But I think this 5th game is going to be remembered for a very long time as his Quaker debut proved very successful.
I don't know if Angelo Reynolds will get the playing time he got tonight when Bobby Willis returns, but it's good to know that he's there on the bench. It certainly seems that there's no doubt about his ability to play when needed, and it's very heartwarming to see that in the event of an injury to your big star senior guard, Bobby Willis.
Certainly that's true, and when you get down at the tournament competition, they say that the team is the winner of the deep team. And quite frankly, the Quakers didn't know about guard position past the first 2 spots. But I think with Kenny Hall and Angelo Reynolds, they have two pretty good guards coming off the bench, and they should be pretty successful come the end of the year.
For Wake Forest, once again, only total point figures are available so far. Alvis Rogers led the way with 14 points, but I believe he had most of those in the first half. He was really quiet in the second half when the Quakers were pulling away. He really depended upon Wake Forest controlling the ball and working for him to have a good shot, and they did not do that in the second half at all.
Right, well, it's the same story. You know, the Wake Forest guys just couldn't get the ball inside quick enough, and Rogers is not the type of guy who's going to make moves. If he gets the ball inside, he'll shoot it up, and if not, that's the way it goes, and he can't get his points.
Johnson rounding out the rest of the scoring for Wake Forest had 12 points. Johnstone, the center, had 8. Harrison had 4, a very quiet night for the 6'11 man. Thurman had 2. Dale had 2. Hendler had 4. And Guy Morgan, who checked into the game, had a dunk shot and a couple other ones for 5 points. The ACC is 0-4 versus the ECAC, I'm told by Stan Lane, sports director from last year, for this 1978-79 season so far.
Looks pretty bad right now, although, you know, the ACC is a perennial power. There's no question that come tournament time, they're going to have quite a few teams battling it out to see who makes it into the NCAAs. You know, last year, both Duke and North Carolina from the ACC, out of those 7 teams, made it deep into the tournament, and I'm sure they'll do the same this year.
One correction on that. They're really only 4-1, but that's not too bad. LaSalle did lose to Duke playing without Michael Brooks at Duke, but still, who would have thought that the ECAC would be 4-1 at this point in the year against the ACC, and really a lot more of the games are being played down in the ACC courts this year, although the Quakers have been fortunate in having the games here in the Palestra against both Virginia and Wake Forest.
Well, that's very true. The last loss for Wake Forest was in North Carolina at the Temple, 86-79, and once again, coming up here, they just had no chance whatsoever, totally blown off the court from start to finish. If they're going to do anything this year, they're going to have to get their guard core back in shape.
Well, that's very true, and they really lost their 2-star guards from last year, and that's going to hurt them a lot. Of course, one of them is here at Penn, and he didn't start last year for Wake Forest. Who will be playing for Penn next year? His name escapes me at the moment. Perhaps you can enlighten me. Okay, you can. But Wake Forest was hurt very deeply in the guard position. Johnson is a senior, but I don't think he had very much playing time last year. He was mainly a reserve for Wake Forest, and it really showed at the guard position that they were hurt.
Well, I think they really missed Rod Griffin. He was All-American and was drafted by the Denver Nuggets of the NBA. And with his graduation, they're really missing at that power forward spot. They recruited Alvis Rogers, but he just doesn't have the outside moves yet as a freshman. I think over the years, perhaps he'll, you know, lose a little weight and become a little bit more quick. But right now, he can depend on other people getting him the ball inside.
Now, we really saw in the second half how Rogers depends on his teammates to set up a play for him and get him the good shot. He can't take the ball a la Kevin McDonald and just say, well, you know, here it comes from 15 feet, do what you can. He's got to have the team, his teammates help out, set him a few picks, work some sort of weak side play, which they did effectively in the first half when things were still close. but were not able to, Wake Forest was not able to do that at all in the second half when they really couldn't even get the ball off the floor.
Yeah, really, you know, the Quakers didn't even put on that much pressure. We didn't really see too much of a press from Penn. And quite honestly, it would have been interesting to see how the Wake Forest guards, who didn't have any success at all with the Quakers guards, with no pressure, how they would have handled any sort of press whatsoever had the Quakers ever gotten into trouble.
Well, Lou, the Quakers now go into a very tough tournament out in San Diego.